We are live. That's it. Hello, Jordan.
How's it going, Joe?
What's going
on? Joseph.
Professional video game player, you.
What's up?
Dude, you're living the dream. That's what every teenage boy who's sitting in front of his parents' television and is, you fucking loser, get some shit done with your life.
That's actually how I pick up girls. I go on Tinder and I say, I'm living the dream. So they don't actually see that I say I play a professional game. I just say, I'm living the dream.
Yeah, but it's like, what's your dream?
The childhood dream. Everyone's like, well, if you're a boy, I guess, right?
Well, when you first started playing video games, was there any professional option?
Well, kind of. There was these teams, Team 3D, that was the first big team in North America, and they, like, I remember going to a local Fry's and buying a keyboard and seeing, like, one of their players' quotes on the box, like, I use this keyboard because I'm going to be the fucking best with this keyboard. So I was like, awesome. Like, that was actually super, like, big part of my motivation. Like, I want to be on a box.
Keyboard box.
Now, when you first started playing, like, how old were you?
I think I was 9 when my brother introduced me. I have 2 older brothers. My oldest brother was playing Counter-Strike, and of course I wasn't allowed to play, so I'm sitting there watching him play all day.
You weren't allowed to play?
No, it was his computer.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, he would, like, shoot me out of his room, and then I would kind of, like, crawl on the floor, walk in, and, like, try to, like, watch him, like, get into his room and watch, and then when he would leave, he would go to school or something, I would hop on his computer and I would play.
And Counter-Strike is a weird one because it was Half-Life.
Half-Life Team Deathmatch, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, nobody even talks about Half-Life. Then
that's
it became
the engine.
Just, yeah. Then it became Counter-Strike was, like, the big game that people... So, Deathmatch, when you're playing Deathmatch Counter-Strike, you're playing one-on-one or team versions of the Half-Life engine, but against other people.
That's what a lot of people that play Counter-Strike competitively use to, like, warm up, Deathmatch mode, because you just keep dying and respawning. It's like a Quake insta-give or something, you know? You just keep restarting and just kill each other to kind of warm up your hands and whatnot, get them working well together.
Do you have, like, a ritual or anything you do before you play?
Well, I mean, it is muscle memory. It is calisthenics. At this point, though, like, obviously, if you're a golfer, you might not train as hard as you did when you wanted to make the tour, but you still have to do maintenance stuff. So, like, when I hit a death match, I'd get maybe 100 kills with each gun, and then I just... Then, obviously, I have team practice, which is a different set of coordinating strategies and stuff. But for personally, yeah, I just try to make sure I'm still playing. So if I ever feel off, I can identify what's really off pretty quick, and then I'll just go hone in on that gun or that part of a map or whatever. But, yeah, it's a mix of both, right?
Do you think that people don't respect how difficult it is to play competitive video games? 'Cause
yeah, definitely. I mean,
it's fucking really difficult. Like, the level of competence or the level of skill. Like, if you've watched, you can watch a lot of games online, and that's, like, a big part of all this now, which is really fascinating, is how many people watch live games, or even with Quake, the big thing was watching demos.
I love Quake, yeah.
Yeah, people would watch demos of, like, really good players. You do that, too.
Yeah. I think part of it, obviously, is people don't know what the fuck they're looking at from an outsider perspective. So, like, certain games I can understand, StarCraft or League of Legends or World of Warcraft, you're looking at all these spells flying around.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And those like, action key moments normally happen over the course of, like, 10 minutes or something. Whereas in Counter-Strike or Quake, it's like, that guy just got that point, he's about to kill this guy, there's this 30 seconds left on the clock.
Right.
So I think that's actually more intuitively easy for a spectator to watch as a spectator sport. But you're right, yeah, a lot of people I don't think comprehend what you go through. That, oh, this kid just plays all day for fun and doesn't think about what he's doing. He just happened to be good.
Yeah, it's always been fascinating to me how certain games get taken seriously. Like, certain games garner respect, like chess.
Chess,
if you are a really good chess player, like, oh, he's a sophisticated gentleman.
Crazy Danish.
He's a chess player.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? I play chess. Whoa, interesting. What do you do for a living? Oh, I play video games. Oh, you fucking dork.
I play Counter-Strike, right? I've progressed over that. I play Counter-Strike. What the fuck is Counter-Strike? Yeah, well, I do this.
Well, that's extra geeky because you're naming the video game.
Well, you have to, because you say play video games, it's like saying you play pro sports. To me, you know?
Right.
After
that's
a while.
True.
So I try to make that distinction to do justice to my profession or whatever. So in the future, people start questioning more about what I do.
Now, what level is obviously there's Half-Life that came out, and then was the game engine continually upgraded?
Yeah, like, I started playing in, like, beta version. So beta 5.2. Beta is basically before the game is full released, for those who don't know what a beta is. There's, like, alphas and beta, right? And then the full release. So I played beta before it was even a game, a full version in stores, and yeah, all the weapons were different, and then 1.0, 1.1, 1.3. The longest lasting version was 1.6, which I went pro in back in like I went pro in 2008, but it went.
How do you go pro? Do you have to join a league, or you have to pay for anything, sign up for stuff?
Well, there is a process. It's not a conventional one like sports. You don't go to like a high school team and a college team. It's there's no coaches in esports. Well, recently there are, but like
there's coaches
recently, and that we'll get into that. But like you know how obviously if you're gonna play in NHL, you try to like play for a college team, or you go to juniors or semi pro AHL. In this case, there's like I play in a league called ESEA. They have the open division, intermediate, main, premier, invite. If you're an invite, you're really the only people that have a chance that can get paid to play by companies. So when I say I went pro back in 2008, it's because I joined up a contract with an organization called Evil Geniuses, which is like my agency for an actor. And they had sponsors from Intel, Newegg, a bunch of peripheral companies for my gear. And they pay me to fly to the tournaments, and I market them like I'm a NASCAR car. I have their logos all over them. I tell people why their gear is good, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Okay. So now back to the Counter-Strike, the Half-Life engine.
Yeah.
So what is there several versions of it that they've come up with? Like yep. What version are you on now?
So now it's the most recent, called Global Offensive.
And is this a new version of Counter-Strike yep. itself, or a new version? There's not a new version of Half-Life, right?
Nope. They came out with Half-Life 2 at one point, but that was the Source engine. So Counter-Strike Source right. came out, it was on that engine.
So for folks who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, this yeah. is what that means. Like video game engines, they take the engine.
That's the
like,
physics, everything that controls
yeah,
your
the
world.
3D geometry, the video, like the way it looks, the graphics. And then they take that engine and then they can port it over to other games. And they can develop games based on that engine. So it cuts a lot of the development process yeah. out, because a big part of the development process out is coming up with a video game engine.
Yep. So, yeah, they have, I think, Half-Life 2. I don't know when it exactly came out, if it was like 2004 or 5.
That's kind of old, right?
Yeah, though, that was that.
10 years
and
ago.
So, like I said, I went pro in Counter-Strike 1.6, and that was like, everyone loved it. It was like the original Quake, like the registration of like my bullet shooting when I hit a guy, like... It worked. It hit him when you shot him in the head. Like, some mm-hmm. of these new versions of the Counter-Strikes that were coming out, it was almost too easy. Like, you would shoot a bullet, like, right here. Because the guy was moving weird, it would still register as a headshot.
So Why is that?
Something was up with the engine, and it was like they were trying to up the graphics and the feel and to make it look more realistic, but that took away from, I guess, how fast the computer talked to the server.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then there was a discrepancy between, like, when I shot, when it actually... hit the person. And obviously that's why, like, I can't, when I practice, I can't play against Europeans because of internet lag, right?
Right.
So I, like, that's why you would play on a LAN, because mm-hmm. it's the fastest interaction between the server and the
yeah, if you've
computer.
Played online with an internet lag and you get used to it and then you play without the lag, it's like you go to paradise. Like
yeah,
you're in heaven.
It's like having to wait on your baseball bat or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's but some guys got really good at it. Like, some guys get super good at timing their own fuck up, their own lag.
Yeah, it's and some of it's bullshit though, because then they're harder to hit.
Yes.
You know, some of them are just glitching around.
They disappear.
Like, well, bullshit. Yeah. So that's annoying. So at our level, we're really like prima donnas about like what server location we play on, because my teammates are spread around the country. So
right.
we all play on like a Denver server.
And you have to make sure that your ping is very low, right? Like the ping to the server.
Yeah, I mean...
Like what's a good ping these days?
Well, playing in North America for Counter-Strike player, like 40 to 50 is like what we play on. Mm-hmm. But like if I were to play in a Los Angeles server from San Diego, I get 15 because I'm closer. But as a team, since we're all spread out, we're in like Toronto and all this stuff and mm-hmm. across the country... play centralized. So.
And that's milliseconds. So it'd be like 15 milliseconds.
I guess.
So does that register in your head? Do you notice the difference between 15 and 40?
Oh, yeah. Well, I could feel it. It's really just like the gun itself, I could feel. It's like a very small, like a lot of people don't notice the difference for the first couple of years they probably play the game. But once you start realizing the different action of the recoil of the guns, you could feel it between each bullet.
This is super nerdy.
Yeah, I know you played Quake. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So my question is, like, how do you decide what game to become super adept at? Because it seems like there's a lot of them
now.
How
do you decide what sport you become adept at?
But, I mean, games have a life, like, where people won't play them anymore. Like, it gets to
yeah,
a point. Like,
definitely.
Try playing Quake 1 today.
That's what happened with... Counter-Strike 1.6 was kind of what I was kind of talking about.
Oh,
the new version came out, and because 1.6 was getting stagnant, like since the developer doesn't give back to the game much and there isn't new shit coming out, people are like, well, this gets old, because they're not pro, they're playing for the fun of it. That's the people that help me make this my job, is the 80 or 90% of the community who isn't pro, who plays and is my viewership, is the people I talk to for my sponsors, etc.
Right.
So that was going downhill a lot with the end of Counter-Strike and other games like League of Legends, which is not a first-person shooter, and Dota. These are like 5v5 strategy spells and like
that's what people
type of stuff.
Yeah, that's when they lose me.
Yeah,
so, fucking spells.
And so yes, how I played Counter-Strike is I just loved the intuitive finesse you could bring to the game. It wasn't just like chess. It was more of like a, you know, chess to tennis or whatever you want to say. I could just outskill someone simply. Even if they do a crazy strategy, I'm just going to stand there and say, well, I'll outshoot you every time, even if you think you're smarter.
Just your hand-eye coordination, yeah. Your understanding of where the mouse is going to move the cursor. Yeah.
And I find a lot of people who play Counter-Strike were more physically fit people. Like, there's an archetype to different pro gamers. A lot of people think everyone's a fat, pimply guy. Well, I notice a lot of Counter-Strike players, like myself, grew up playing sports. I played ice hockey all my youth. A lot of my teammates are team athletes, or just...
Ooh, the dorks. Yeah, like StarCraft?
I know, I'm going to get a bunch of crap for calling them dorks. Yeah,
World of Warcraft?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the dorks, right?
And the thing is, I have friends in those realms too, right? So there are those random people. You got into Quake yourself, right? There's all sorts of different people who get into games. But generally, yeah, the people, it's like chess. StarCraft is more cerebral game. You're kind of premeditating a lot of your decisions, which you are in Counter-Strike 2, but in a much more strategic way. You don't need to – you could probably plug in any mouse and play StarCraft. Whereas right. When my sponsor tries to give me a new mouse, I, like, resist a lot, because that's like, I don't know, a different baseball glove or a
right.
different pair – a different curve on my ice hockey stick or different set of irons as a golfer. Like, it really throws me off for a little bit.
Are they all laser mice now?
Yeah, but some obstacles work well if
really?
The surface is one color. If the surface is multicolored on a mouse, it actually makes tracking harder. Like, these people have these crazy designs in their mouse pad. That's actually detrimental to the tracking and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
But no one uses a ball anymore.
No. But I did start
those?
On a ball. You open that
those
shit up and blow it out.
Yeah. Remember, you have to... I used to have Q-tips with alcohol, and you used to have to clean the little rollers.
See, you're a gamer.
Because they would gunk up with sweat and funk.
Oh, Joe was a gamer. He was addicted to that thing. And I have a question. If you're so good at Counter-Strike, can you pick up most first-person shooters and be really good at it?
On PC, yeah.
On PC. So you can go into Grand Theft Auto right now and just kill everybody.
Well, that's not really competitive. But yeah, exactly. I'd probably do that. Quake. I used to play Quake all the time. Rocket Arena 3, Quake 3.
So you just have like really good understanding of what movement of your hand corresponds to the movement on the screen. You get kind of a feel of it.
Yeah, just good dexterity. Most first-person shooters are just, like you said, I heard you talking about Quake, and it's really just intuitive. Like, you play at first, and you're like, oh, I have to look with my mouse hand. And this hand.
Yeah.
After a while, it's like an extension of your hands. I don't think I do a lot of actions per minute that I don't even comprehend because I'm reacting visually, not mentally.
Yeah, there's like gun switches and moves that you would do that literally would come like tying your shoes.
Yeah, and then
that's
when you get better,
and
you start playing better players, you manipulate those little things that, like, that's what we call the meta game, is things that, like, it changes constantly because it's all based on intuition.
Right. That's why it's so weird when you switch from game to game. That was why I had that question, because, like, if you got super into Counter-Strike and then, you know, like, maybe, you know, have you seen the teaser for the new Doom?
No. Oh, no.
Oh.
We should play
it.
Oh, shit.
Play it, Jamie.
This.
Yes.
Doom.
There's a new Doom. I'm fucking, I worship at the altar of John Carmack.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the baddest motherfucker ever when it comes to this shit. But this new Doom, the graphics are just so ridiculous. It's just like, fucking Christ.
It's been a while, right?
It's been a while. I mean, he's been doing a bunch of different kind of video games as well. But remember when let's play it real quick and we'll show you this.
Because
this is really crazy. It'll be to the left of you, or to the right of you as well, rather. We just play it on that then. Doesn't matter. Go full screen, Jamie.
Blast that shit.
Peggy 18.
Look at this. That's all you get.
Are you serious? That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
That's all you get. June 14th, they're going to show gameplay.
That was
June 14th. We'll play it one more time.
Dun,
yeah, dun. June 14th, you get to see the actual full thing that's being played, I guess. What are you doing? You switching things on us? Pull that again.
All right.
Can't hear it, Jamie.
Yeah, we need the dun-dun.
18.
Welcome to hell.
Oh,
that's dope.
God, that's all I need.
That's sick. Cue the Pantera.
But like when you would play that, like if you play that game and you got used to that physics, like I remember going from Quake to Unreal. It would like screw you up a little, even though it was awesome. It was like it moved just a little different. The mouse cursor moved a little different, and you get your settings and you try to like fidget with it and try to get it to a place where you kind of understand what was happening intuitively.
Yeah. So that that's always right when we get a new game that's a first person shooter, you go in and see how the game takes your sensitivity if it's directly from your mouse or from Windows. So that's called raw input. So some games have raw input where it takes your mouse sensitivity, and I can go in and dial it basically into how my Counter-Strike feels. Some don't. So some you have to go in and like they have their own
in-game sensitivity.
Yeah, in-game sensitivity, and you have to slide the notch weird, and it's got its own extrapolation of what a default sense is, and every time you move one notch, it's 1.25, the original versus another game.
And then there's mouse acceleration, which is fucking weird.
Yeah, turn that off, obviously.
The faster, but some guys really loved it. Like, the faster you move the hand, it corresponded to a different type of movement with the mouse.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, under normal circumstances, you move left, you move right, and the cursor moves left or right. And it's independent on whether or not you move fast. But if you move fast with mouse acceleration, it moves way faster on screen.
It's got that extra spin to it at the end. Yeah.
It's like it's almost like it's a gyroscope or something like that. Or it's like it's got some momentum to it.
Yeah, if you notice, so with first-person shooters, a lot of people set their arm differently on the desk. So some people play with wrists, so they're called wrist players. So this is like the hinge.
They're called wrist players.
With wrist aimer, right? So wrist aimer has their wrist kind of set down, and when they're moving, they have...
Wait a minute, wrist tamer?
Wrist aimer, sorry.
Wrist aimer.
I like to mumble.
Okay.
Wrist aimer. And then I'm more of an elbow, so my elbow is my hinge, so I have more control, so I use a lower sensitivity, right?
Oh, okay, so you move faster.
I can swipe larger swipes. Someone playing with their wrist is doing this, so they use a higher sensitivity.
Right.
Some of those people don't mind using a little Excel because they could do these little like flick moves and kind of just really get into the groove with that, and it's smaller, whereas I have bigger motions that make me more comfortable. So if I have a little bit of Excel, I want it to be as true as possible to my actual hand because I'm doing these bigger movements.
Do you have a large mouse pad as well?
But I actually have two on top of each other. I'm one of the few people who uses like a hard mouse pad versus just cloth. So I like the plastic feel, and I have to like replace it like every 3 months because I'd grind it down.
Whoa.
So like my sponsors are like sending me...
Grind it down. How many hours are you playing a day, son? Do you get outside? You know about vitamin D?
Yeah, that's it. I got a little time. I live in San Diego, man. You know I'm outside.
There you go. How many hours do you have to play a day to stay fit?
When I
say fit in the loosest possible. But it is a sort of fitness,
right?
But it is a sort of shape for the game.
Calisthenics, just like when I take a vacation, I come back, I'm like, whoa, this looks weird for a
really?
Second. Yeah, for a couple weeks even, I just come back, but I get into it quick. If we have a tournament coming up, since it's very team centric, like we dry run, we premeditate a dozen strategies on the counter terrace, then on the terrace side. Like, you really try to memorize what you and your teammates are going to do. So if something is thrown a wrench into your gears, you have to react on the fly somewhat within a certain scale of thought. So when I'm playing for a tournament, that's like we get on at 3 p.m., we end at 11 p.m.
So, whoa. That's Jesus crazy. Christ. What about food? What about water?
Oh, yeah. Well,
bathroom breaks? What do you guys do? Pissing? But you have a bucket next to you?
Yeah, so this is why I expel the archetype. No, like, for instance, when we do these boot camps, 3 out of 5 of us at least wake up and go to the gym. We wake up, go to the gym, shower. We play on our own, like, deathmatch, chill, eat. And then, like, take that, like, hour before to, like, make sure
when you play on your own, when you're saying you play on your own deathmatch, what does that mean?
So you connect to a public server, maybe under an alias, so people don't give a shit because everyone knows our names in the game. So we'll, like, go into deathmatch, kind of hidden, and we'll just, like, you just kill, respawn. Deathmatch isn't, like, a real mode. Like, we don't care about our stats. We're just...
Just having fun.
We might, like, sometimes I purposely look away from a doorway, so when some guy comes through it, I practice a 90-degree turn and hitting him in the head. So I just constantly have my back to a guy, so when he comes, I can hear him, and I flick around. And
that's the thing that a lot of people don't know about video games, is that you can hear in 3 dimensions, too. Like, if something's coming back behind you, back to your right, you can actually hear it back and to your right, which is really spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, we use sound all the time to manipulate things. Or we make it seem like they didn't hear, or like we don't know they're behind us. So I'll run out this doorway, and I know a guy's trailing me. So when I run to the left, my teammate's on the right waiting for him to come shoot me on the left. So like we manipulate sound all the time. So it's a huge part of it.
So are you guys, when you plan out your strategies, do you have like a video chat where you go over... like these strategies in physical form, or do you write it out? Like, how do you?
So obviously, first of all, sometimes when we boot camp, we're all in the same location. So if we have a big tournament in Stockholm, we go to Stockholm 10 days in advance, and we go to that's the best teams in Counter-Strike are in Europe. that's just where they are. Really? Our team has never – my team is – I've won a couple world championships in the old game, but I've never been a world champ in the new game yet. Like, we – because it's a team game, and, like, we'll get to semis or something, but those guys are the shit. And wow. I'm all friends with all of them, but that point aside
– wonder why Europe.
Wait, what was this question? Was it?
You were talking about – Jesus, what was the original question? Getting together, strategy.
So how we go with strategy. So, yeah, so on offense, you dry run in a server. We all connect to the same private server, and we just basically we're like, okay, we're going to take this bomb site. What number of ways can we do it? If we have a full economy, meaning do we have every grenade in our arsenal? Do we have no grenades? Do we have to dry walk in? We say dry when we have nothing to really assist us, no smoke grenades, no flash. So we say, hey, we're going to three dry walk into this bomb site. You two watch our flank. So that means they're not going to throw anything. Like, right? So like, if we're going to hit this room right here and we're going to come in and kill Joe Rogan, if we wanted to come in here, we'd throw a flashbang through that door, right? And then we'd smoke off the kitchen right here, so no one in the kitchen has vision on the people coming through that doorway. And then, you know, we expect the only angles they could hold are under that TV and behind where he's sitting back here.
Jamie.
I had his name. I want to say Riley for some reason. Jamie. And
Riley from
so,
now
but
on.
If yeah, exactly, Riley.
Sorry, Riley.
Bad with names, right?
So you would plan out.
But if we have no grenades, obviously we're coming into Joe's studio dry, right?
Mm-hmm.
No lube.
Right? So these strategies are based upon the geometry of the room.
It's based on the type of the map, how fast. If we have things called fakes, where we'll throw everything in here and make it look like we're coming to kill you, and all of a sudden the three of us are taking your teammates out who we're catching on the rotation. Because we're saying, when we throw all the shit in this room, Joe's going to say, guys, they're coming in, which is going to cause your guys watching the out back to come towards you and help you, and then we're going to jump them in the backyard.
And so these strategies are all planned out in advance, and you have names for them?
Yeah, so we'll call it like Sonic or Gatorade or...
And you can hear each other, but you can't hear them?
Yeah, we connect to a third-party software, like Mumble or TeamSpeak. It's kind of like Skype, but you press a hotkey. It's like a walkie-talkie.
And so you will talk to each other while you're playing the game, like, look out, he's behind you. Like, does anybody hack into your line and they can, like, find out what you're saying?
Back in the day, that was kind of like a thing that would happen between friends. Like, you're playing, we call them 10-mans, where you pick two captains and everyone throws their name in a hat and you play random 5-versus-5 teams. And you're all in the same voice server. Well, one guy will... You can clone the program and open it again, and he'll come in and join your channel while he's playing. So he'll have like one ear on what you guys are doing, and that's like a scummy thing friends would do to each other.
A dirty person.
But when we're playing at a pro level, it can't happen because we're isolated.
Now, with online gaming, one of the things that was a real problem with Quake was bots, was people that would have aiming bots
where they couldn't
miss. And you'd get on a server, and some guy would be shooting guys that were, like, jumping through the air, like, shooting you in midair, couldn't miss, and you would kill everybody. Do they have that with Counter-Strike?
Yep, there's wall hack and aimbot. So wall hack is just, obviously, transparent walls. You can just see everything. Those guys are a piece of shit. And aimbot, and they're all a piece of shit, right? So we've all, like... I say a majority of pros have messed around with it for fun with their friends. Like, yo, guys, let's go cheat versus each other and see how gnarly it is. And, like, we used to do that back in the old versions. In the new game, you can't even screw around with it because they have such a crazy anti-cheat, which is what I was just going to say. Now, it's really hard to do that. You have to literally – it's, like, actually it's a multi-million dollar industry, cheating in competitive games. It's not, like, a huge, huge industry, but people sell – like, they update it. Every time the game developer creates a better, like, firewall or whatever for the cheats, they, like – go in, look at the code, find a way around it to do their aimbot, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But obviously at pro level, I don't deal with cheaters. Oh, that's actually wrong. But last year, that was the first ever time at a pro level where people found a way to cheat, and the guy got banned for life from tournaments.
For life.
For life. Well, because he cheated at like a LAN qualifier, supposedly, LAN local area network, where they were like, it's a French player, and he literally got... caught. It's like the smallest cheat ever found. They found a way to, like, it's like 50 kilobytes, and they inserted it, and like it was like a trigger bot, so it wasn't a full-time aim bot, so he could press a button and it would snap to the nearest enemy, so even if they're behind a wall, so he could be chilling and just press this button and it would like snap to the wall, and you knew a guy was about to come around that corridor or something.
So it was
super low key but super scummy.
How'd they catch him?
I forget the series of events, but there was some like red flag on his account, and then like the people have the ability to like go like zoom in and narrow their scope onto one account and like scan their system, and they did that, and they found some shady traces of like cheating, and then he admitted it. And he's like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't lie anymore. And then,
wow. And so now he's done for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
What if he comes back with a different name?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd see his face. We know what he looks like.
Oh, what if he gets plastic surgery?
That's it, then,
he
baby.
He jitters it up.
Grows a big beard or something.
The plastic surgery, yeah, right?
Hmm.
Plastic surgery is pretty epic these days.
Couldn't a guy just apologize? I mean, it's
that's what
just,
he did formally, but the thing is it's like pretty scummy. Like, that's like someone, it's not only roiding, that would be like having jetpacks on your feet playing football, like,
and almost like poisoning the opponent.
Yeah, it's not just roiding, that's yeah. Like God power.
This is like Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Like, you remember Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding, where Tonya Harding hired someone to whack Nancy Kerrigan in the legs?
Like,
yeah, you get banned
next
for
level
life.
Scumbag.
That's next level shit. So, so there's very few ways that a person could cheat in the professional realm.
There's things like, so you have a little mini map, a radar. You could make it so all the other team shows up on their radar too.
So you could find out where you. So when you're playing, you know where your guys are at any given moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could make a hack so that other people.
If
you
they're
see
just little
people.
Dots, right, moving around the rotating map. Which are your teammates, you can make it so all 10 people in the game show up or however many are.
But if you try to do that professionally, you'd get banned for life.
Oh, yeah. Like, you might be able to have a button that toggles it on and off, and, like, if no admin is watching you. But when you play at a tournament, you have, like, people walking behind you. That like,
that's so better. Crazy. Yeah. Now, what kind of money is involved in this now?
Like, how, so which facet of it, right?
What can, like, okay, give me the top of the food chain first. Like, what's the top of the food chain video gamer make per year?
Well, so I play Counter-Strike, right? So remember, League of Legends, Counter-Strike. League of Legends is huge right now.
League of Legends,
because the game developer themselves was...
I don't even know what that is. Is that like a superhero game?
It's, yeah, 5v5. It's like Dota. I don't know if you've heard of Dota either. It's 5v5 overview. You go from one end of the corner of the map through three different lanes, and yeah, spells and different heroes, and you
ban. I'm only interested in first-person stuff.
Yeah, so...
That's way more exciting, that overhead view shit.
Well, regardless, those people, yeah, that's, like you said, I've always been in first-person shooters. But, yeah, those games, their developer was the first one to really get involved with the competitive community and give a bunch of prize money back, like $10 million tournaments, like insane.
Whoa.
So, like, some of these players in the past couple of years have made, like, over $1 million each because of those tournaments. But
wow.
If you're talking, like, the average salary of a League of Legends player, they're all making a couple hundred grand a year, six figures.
No shit. So that's for the top guys.
Yeah, so like for me and my teammates, we can all make six-figure salaries.
See, your parents have got to fucking respect that, right? Yeah. At a certain point in time, you know, you go, Mom, do you know what a lawyer makes? Okay, I make that. So go tell your fucking friends I'm a lawyer.
My
back.
Yeah, I had cool-ass parents, luckily. Like, my dad was kind of the reality check, but in a positive way. Like, you realize that this is kind of a volatile career. Like, you're probably going to, like, not... This might not apply to anything after you're done competing. Luckily for me, I've done a lot of little things that I kind of have some connections, but yeah.
After you're done competing,
yeah,
assuming you're going to be done competing.
Yeah, assuming you're going to be done, not just addicted your whole life. But no, but that's the thing is, yeah, you don't know what it's going to be. But my mom was always like, I credit why I went pro to kind of her being cool with me. Like, she would drive me to Las Vegas from San Diego, Arizona, Northern California, because she saw how into it I was. And I was like, and I included her on it. And I think that was a big thing for any of you out there who want to like pursue gaming. You can't just like fucking ignore everything in your life and get bad grades and do all this shit in school. You have to like balance stuff, right? So like I was kind of like a nerd in that sense at a young age. I played ice hockey, came home, did my schoolwork, played Counter-Strike the rest of the night. And I told my mom every night who I'm playing with, what team, what level I'm at. And so when I finally said, hey mom, I can go to this tournament, I'm old enough, because they had an age limit, like you had to be 15. I was like, I really want to go. And so she started driving me, and like pretty soon after, I was making a name for myself on the West Coast. Like, there's this little kid, sounds like a girl. He's fucking fucking everybody up. He's like little munchkin, and he's insane at the game individually, but obviously you need to be a good team player. So everyone kind of spread my name. But my mom was, yeah, right there driving me to these lands. I would play. We'd get there at like 10 a.m. in Irvine or something, and she would be knitting and hanging out, go see a movie, come back, pick me up at 2 a.m., drive me home to San Diego.
That's so crazy. And, now, like, StarCraft is still a huge game.
StarCraft's awesome.
Is that
I
the biggest game? What's
no.
the biggest game?
Right now, it's probably first League of Legends, then Dota and Counter-Strike, us three.
Wow. So StarTrek
kind of hit a plateau.
It
like
did.
2012.
What was that about?
I think...
People got bored?
I don't know that exactly why. Just Twitch really blew it up, so Twitch is streaming, right? Like Ustream. Twitch blew it up because...
So Twitch is a website where people stream videos.
Gaming. Yeah, I don't know.
So you watch the video games being played.
It's like webcam models for gamers where these guys are making thousands and thousands of dollars an hour just for playing video games.
So that's
just
the other facet.
Just playing it on Twitch?
And you get tips and donations and all
tips.
This shit.
Tips?
So, you have okay, to show so, your app? Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
How's that
right?
work?
In some cases, some might.
Do you squirt?
on stream.
There's no squirting, man. It's been proven. It's pee.
Okay, so let me circle around all the things you just said.
Okay, pee first.
All right,
are
so
you,
I pee
are
on
you billion
people
squirting
in my,
or not?
R. Kelly once
squirting
told me.
Is like the sexual chemtrails. That's what it is.
Is that
it's like the people that believe
out?
In it, they won't let it go.
Pheromones
it's
real?
Real.
No, it's pee.
It's pee.
It's proven
it's
by
gushing.
Scientists.
I'm pissing my pants right now.
It never existed until a few years
are you attracted
ago.
To me, Brian?
All these years, all these years.
Let me tell you.
Women for all these years were holding in their pee, and then someone told them they don't have to anymore, and they started just peeing all over guys and calling it squirting.
That was the baby boom, right?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what's going on. It's kind of the same thing.
Dude, it's that shit's funny though. Yeah. On that note, people do a lot of crazy shit for cameras. I started becoming somewhat of a different person when I first started streaming because the chat itself is like a comedian, right? Like you
right.
get up there, you get high off the people's energy of like interacting, right, with you.
So while you're playing, do you have a separate monitor that
I have
has
two
the
monitors,
chat?
Two webcams.
Two monitors.
A studio mic like this one hanging above me.
A studio mic while you're playing.
That's
because
like
game.
I said, I have a high voice. I need to like not pierce people's ears.
Well, you were saying that before the show.
Yeah.
You were saying your voice is so high that if you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, like I need to have this mic, otherwise it freak people out. But so I don't know how we got to Twitch, but yeah, Twitch is huge. They got bought by Amazon for $970 million.
What the fuck, Amazon? What are you doing with your money?
Yeah. No, it's because it's huge. Got... So the League of Legends finals last year had more viewership, I think, than the NHL Stanley Cup and the Rose Bowl combined.
What?
It's the future, Joe. It's gonna
hold on.
So the ad
it's the future.
And
what the, future?
And the reason
then?
The ad value is so overwhelmingly valuable is because the interaction, right? Everyone's chatting. They're like talking directly to it. When you're on a couch watching a TV, you're like, oh, this commercial's fucking dumb, or oh, cool, Super Bowl commercial. On Twitch, you're like, wow, look at this fucking clown in the commercial. Oh, that's awesome, or that's a cool product, or whatever. But you're typing,
right?
So the engagement is there. The stats are there. Literally, I have on my channel, I have one button I click, and I have my demographic, what countries watch me, how many hours they watch. I have all the stats on my page that I can export to my sponsors or whoever supports my page.
Whoa, okay, let's go to this fucking website. We have to investigate.
Check out one of our past ones. Like we do one with Kim all the time.
Well, let's watch some real players. I want to see some real players. No disrespect, Brian, but I like to see guys actually know what the fuck they're doing. When you're playing this and you're doing this, like, what's an average viewer? Like, how many viewers average do you get?
I get like 4,000 to 5,000 concurrent at a time. Right,
4,000 to 5,000 is normal.
My teammate has probably. I have a teammate who streams a lot more than me. He gets like 10,000 to 15,000.
Okay, let's watch your game. Let's watch Counter Strike. So this is all the different games that are available that you can watch.
You can actually watch poker and music now.
Hold on a second, but you can watch poker. Guys play poker.
Yeah.
From their home, so you watch people
play live
video.
Tournaments.
Live video tournaments or.
Yeah, so when my buddy Griffin's actually huge at poker,
that's
my
what
buddy.
I'm saying.
Shaguar is his name. He used to be a pro Counter-Strike player. He's up like 6 million in poker.
Okay,
and
click on one of these and let's see what the fuck goes on.
Look how many viewers are
this guy's,
right now.
This guy's from Poland, actually. I met him in Poland a
is
while ago.
Is this live right now?
Yeah.
He's
33,000
views. Jesus Christ.
So that's,
what's 27 million? What
that's
is 20,
his overall viewership.
Fucking Christ. And so this guy is... This is Counter-Strike.
So
boy, the graphics are crude.
So it's... Yeah, it's... they're... So that's an AK-47. What?
Hold on, crank his volume up. What is he saying?
So this is two Polish teams. He's speaking Polish. This guy's actually Polish. I've met him when I was in a tournament in Poland.
Really?
So the team on the right, Virtus Pro, is like the best team in Poland. They're playing Gamers 2 for an online league.
So I guess the graphics are not that important because this seems really dated.
Older
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
Older
well,
engine.
Counter-Strike's like... Compared to the old version of Counter-Strike, this is like a big upgrade. So like,
really?
That's been the thing with that's actually kind of made it cool is that because the obviously the crazier the graphics and the physics, the gameplay itself is less true. Like you remember playing Quake, how'd that mm-hmm. look, right? Like if Quake was super modernized, I have a feeling that the integrity of the physics would go downhill.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that people didn't like about the newer games is the physics changed. Like Quake 2 changed, and then Quake 3 became more like Quake 2.
So you see the chat on the right, everyone's going nuts.
A lot of people like Quake 3 rather became more like Quake 1.
Yeah, because
Quake
everyone brings
like
their feedback,
game.
Like, oh, Quake 2 did this, I don't like it.
What was slower? The thing about Quake 2 is, like, the movement was slower. but the graphics were better. But then Quake 3 was like sort of the best.
Jamie, can you find one of the hot chicks playing Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
That's the new thing is the cam girls are now becoming gamer girls. And they're
free time. Right?
Yeah.
Really?
So that's what I've been training Kim Condom to do and a couple other girls is to play games.
You're ruining the movement, Brian. There's all these girls who are like, we got to stop showing our cleavage and be taken seriously. And I'm like, no, show your cleavage. You'll make money.
Yes.
No, but yeah.
Well, how is he ruining the movement then?
No, I was joking because like he was like pull up on these cam girls.
Pull one of these up, Jamie.
Okay, so she's cool. She gets shit a lot. This girl, she's from Canada. I've met her.
The kitty plays.
So she gets shit a lot because she spends a lot of time interacting and not playing.
Like people. This.
Yeah.
Like,
so she's sitting there chatting. But
she's
an attention whore.
No offense,
she's cool.
Ma'am.
Yeah, right. So I've met her. She's a cool person.
She just likes attention.
But she knows she probably makes. I don't know what she makes. This is me just bullshitting. But she at least makes 10 to 20 grand a month.
Yeah.
You know.
What? Hold the fuck on. And, this girl makes 10 to 20. Let's listen to what she has to say, Jamie.
Is this song gonna play?
If anyone watching Joe Rogan's stream right now, can you go in Kitty's chat and say something? There it is.
Joe Rogan is watching.
I knew they would.
Alright, so I was in Counter-Strike, so if you guys want to play with me, this is the best time to come play with me.
So we can get a Joe Rogan spam in the chat probably just by saying this.
I'm sure we can.
Twitch.tv/kittywave. There it is. Powerful Joe Rogan. So that's why it kind of gets addictive. You see, like, I start streaming and people would be like... So, if you scroll down...
I'll text her.
On the page. Can you scroll below
her? Do you know her?
Jamie?
You can text her? Like, you know her as a human being?
Could you scroll down and show, like, where it says you can tip? So, right, if you keep going down, it'll say, like, donate somewhere, contribute. See, so right there, if you click contribute.
Click here to make a donation.
Any donation of $3 or more will pop up as a fan letter on the stream. So what people do
what?
Is they donate $100 to say, hey, Kitty, hope you have a great day, or $5 or $3 or you have a minimum, right?
Scroll back so we can see the
chat.
The chat.
See Joe Rogan, they're going off. Hey, Jordan, Joe Rogan, see everyone's going off. Joe.
I love this shit.
What is going
on? And what's cool, Joe?
Oh, pull on. What's she saying?
And people can subscribe to you, kind of like, you know, and you can have like $5 a subscription. And if you have like a shitload of subscribers every month, that just
renews. Hold on. I can't hear both of you guys at the same time. Yeah. Turn her off then. So we can't hear it. What are you saying?
So you can subscribe to channels, right? That's one of the things that you can do. Like her subscription is $5 to subscribe to her channel.
What?
And so every month that subscription renews. So she has like, I mean,
subscription
10,000 people or whatever. That's
so what, it's like a
50,000 a month.
She makes $50,000 a month.
Well, I mean,
just doing
her. Well, I mean, not her.
You also split the sub with the website, so some people get a better deal, but a lot get 50-50, so $2.50.
She's trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Go back to her.
That's me.
Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah. Let's get an Olive Garden spam going on.
Yeah,
you guys need to tell Kitty to do the flashbang dance. Right
now. I don't think he's looking at... Oh, he is looking at the...
Tell him Jordan says do the flashbang dance.
I can't get the camera over
there. So me and her had a dance off one land, so I'm going to try to get her to do this dance.
I can't do it.
Don't.
Why am I on it?
Mr. Redman.
Why am I on it? You're going to get a strongly worded message. Who's going to get a strongly worded message? Me or you?
Hi.
I
guess we need a...
She's funny.
We're just... Explain to this lovely young lady that we're just trying to figure things out. What is that? We can't see that. All right. Let's leave her and go to someone that's actually playing a game. No offense, young lady.
But it's really cool how
That's fascinating.
And what's interesting is that a lot of people like are using their Xboxes for like to watch Netflix and stuff like that. And Twitch is now on Xboxes, PlayStations. It's on Roku now. So people are watching that as TV. I'll go home at the end of the night, not turn on NBC or ABC. I'll just watch somebody play Counter-Strike, fall asleep. Because it's I like watching video games. And one of the cool things is like this. You even have coaches now, like in these professional things, and these are just guys that like to watch video games.
Who's funny? Which guy?
Soda Pop makes. This guy. So he's kind of like he's just not competitive at all. He just jokes around, but he makes so much money.
And what is he playing? What game
is this?
He's
playing World of Warcraft, I think, right now.
See, this is the game that Duncan had to throw away 3 different times.
Yeah, more than
he
that.
Had to delete it. He broke it. He like took the discs and snapped them in half, and then went out and bought new ones. I'm done, man. Click.
So, See, there's three different ways these people make money, right? There's the sub service, the subscription,
right?
Ad revenue. So he's got 18,000 viewers. He probably makes like $100 an hour on that. And then he has donations or whatever. So this guy in particular had a couple crazy fans from the Middle East, like Prince dudes, that gave him like $50,000 each.
What?
$35,000. I had one guy from Abu Dhabi give me $10,000 one time on my
Twitter. To do what?
Just to...
Did you have to show your dick?
No. Yeah, exactly, right?
Play with
we
your
had
dick
a private
out.
myfreecams.com/Jordan right now. No, he literally was just like, he liked the Counter-Strike scene. He gave a Polish Counter-Strike player $30,000. He gave one of my teammates $20,000.
Were you mad that you only got 10?
Yeah, I was totally pissed. I was like, yo, Mode, what the fuck?
What the fuck, man?
Dude, when someone gives you that money, though, you don't really know what to say, right?
Joe, it's time for you to get back into Quake, Joe.
No, it's definitely not. But
I heard about the addictive.
I have addiction issues. I've avoided them with drugs for the most part, although some would disagree. But I do have them hardcore with games to the point where I avoid games. But watching this is a totally different animal because
gifts today,
these guys are making money. I can't believe you have a subscription link there. And you click on that, and you can give this cat $5 a month.
Shout out to Soda Poppin'. I flew out of home up.
Jesus
from last
Christ, he's
him.
Got 93 million fucking views on his channel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And 18,000 people watching right now. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I was actually teaching a kid who he's only 10 years old, I'm friends with.
You're friends with 10-year-olds?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. But he
questionable.
No, they're the same age mentally.
He wants to grow up to be you. Like, that's what he wants to do. So, So I was teaching him how to be a Twitch host, and like me and Jamie would play Grand Theft Auto with him, and he would practice, you know, talking and stuff like that. And it's amazing that this is now a job that.
Kid pulled
UFC,
us up.
UFC, Fear Factor. Everywhere.
He pulled us up on. There was an image he pulled up on the screen.
What's funny. That show that you did a scene in with David Spade? I watched that on YouTube today.
What was it called? Just Shoot Me? Yeah, I did an episode of that.
I watched just it. That an episode. Funny.
This is hilarious. Hey, fella. This is good for this guy, though. So he's making money and he doesn't have to show his tits.
He's confused, probably. He's like, what's going on?
Well, who is someone else pulling that up in front of
that's
him?
No, it's him.
It's him.
Dude, let's just do this all day and go to people's room and freak them out.
So this guy right now is playing this game. Give us a volume so I can hear how this is going on. He's not talking?
Let's do it.
Okay, he's saying let's do it. So this game, you can kind of like lounge.
Fear Factor, that's where I know him. The guy ate testicles once, dude, it was disgusting, and he loved it. That's where I know him from. Fucking Fear Factor, I watched that when I was like 12.
I'm 15 now.
Some guy ate fucking cow testicles, man.
Oh shit.
And so, he liked it. He asked for more. He had no idea.
Okay, so this guy is playing these games, and he's just talking, I guess, and that's why people like him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any personality, right? Like the people, like you've had Phil DeFranco on your thing, right?
Yes.
On YouTube, so like people follow someone and they mm-hmm. want to know him. Like right now, I'm doing this podcast.
Right.
People enjoy to just hear behind the story. So for him, sometimes he'll sit there. He does every Saturday night. He does a 24-hour stream all day. He plays
24
every
hours
every Saturday.
Does he jerk off?
He probably does prior and after. I would say that's stamina.
Does anybody ever jerk off on screen? If they do, they kick you off of Twitch.
Dude, yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. It's happened where
you got in trouble.
Yeah, I've gotten in trouble a couple times. I was playing Grand Theft Auto when a girl came over and she just started taking off her top and stuff like that, and I forgot that I was twitching because on Xbox Live you could be twitching and you totally forget it's on, and then you fall asleep and you wake up the next day and your camera's still on.
Right. People have been watching you sleep like creepers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've done that a few times also.
Creepers.
Ooh. But I play a different way. I just go in Grand Theft Auto, kill hookers, and try to take pictures of their underwear.
Sounds like a great Wednesday night.
Have you seen the fucking complaints that people said that there's a hack in Grand Theft Auto where you could verbally rape some, or you could virtually rape someone? Haven't seen that? Where their body freezes, they can't do anything, you get behind them, and you start pumping them.
There's all sorts of fucking
But people
shit.
Were, like, really upset. Like, you know, this girl was talking about how she felt completely violated because her character was trapped, and some guy was... I'm like, isn't that a game where they're allowed to kill you with a fucking crowbar? Like, that doesn't freak you out? But
yeah, you're, like, working for mobsters in that game. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, but...
It's normal
I'm not okay
stuff.
With the sex, but the cocaine that I'm selling to buy this car is cool. It's like, all right.
So how many people are on this Twitch thing in any given moment? Go back to that. Like, let's see what, like, what's
well, so
the overall.
So all those games are on there. They have, like, more internet traffic than, like, most websites. Like, in like they accounted for some huge number, I'm sure you could look it up, of streaming services. Like, it's like them, YouTube, and like Netflix.
God damn, I'm so out of the loop with this shit. Now, I want to see what it's like when you're watching people play poker.
Yeah, so they normally have like six tables on. It's really down
low. Okay, there's poker.
Right there, yeah.
So you go to poker, and so these guys are just playing video poker.
So tournaments.
And they have like a little. All right, click on that guy right there. I don't understand.
3,000 viewers, or 4,000 viewers almost.
It's quite a bit less. So quite a bit less people are playing. He has a million views, but quite a bit less than the video games. So way more people want to watch people.
Well, this is a gamer's website, right? So a lot of people get residual views because people are just looking around for a gamer.
Hmm. Right.
Not a lot of people are just casually looking around for a poker player.
Now, do you think you could play pool on something like this?
Right away they hit you. Pool? Like digital? Like
no, actual pool. Like could you have a camera set up where you could play actual pool?
I don't know their rules. Like if you're a channel who already does other things and then one day you decide to have a Friday night as pool night, I think you could.
I think you could totally do it. You'd have
to talk to them.
Yeah,
right?
You'd probably talk to
but
them.
But they don't want you to like say I'm playing Counter-Strike and then you're playing pool 7 days a week, obviously.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't
Joe
want
to. Joe Rogan flashbang dance.
Joe,
someone called me an N-word. How dare you, sir?
Obviously, the audacity.
That's the one I concentrate on.
I know. You went right to it.
So this guy's playing four different games at a time. A lot of those video game poker dudes, the real aces, they do that, right?
Yeah, and they have a program to keep track of the hands everyone's been playing, like on their table and stuff. You pay for it. Because these guys are playing, they're making good money, you know, playing poker four tables a day.
Right, and he's playing four different games at the same time where he's making money on these games or losing money, gambling.
Gambling, yeah.
Now, is that legal again? Like, how's that work now? Because I know poker, like, for a while you could play it out of Vegas, but you had to play people in Vegas.
Online, I think it's something to do with, like, Canada.
Okay, so this guy wrote, poker's new to Twitch, but it's growing rapidly. Some poker celebrities, Daniel Negreanu, who's been streaming, Jason Somerville. Oh, okay, so it's a new thing.
Yeah, it's relatively
new. It's a new addition.
They also added music recently, like DJ Steve Aoki.
He plays videos?
He puts a GoPro up on stage, and then he does his set at a club and streams it.
Yeah, from Twitch?
From Twitch.
Kevin Brayton does it.
But that's not a video game.
They added music as well as poker. So like, I feel like people would be stoked to have you on Twitch
as a podcast.
I could totally connect you with those people too.
Dude, we'll do it. Yeah, why not? I mean, we do Ustream.
I'm just saying. I know his new. What did you say? You got the new TriCaster. You could do like six streams at once.
Can we do Ustream and Twitch at the same time? Mm-hmm. Oh yes, we can, folks. All right, we'll do it.
Yeah, I'll totally connect you with those people.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, Kevin Pereira has a stage at his new studio, and he'll have like concerts, and he'll be playing the drums and stuff on Twitch now.
And no shit. And how many people are watching?
A lot. Kevin has a full studio where he does gaming, and on one he does podcasts.
Right, but how many people watch when he's like playing drums?
I haven't watched it. He just told me about it.
Okay, let's see some other video games. Let's see what else we got here.
You know,
this is fascinating, man. This is a completely new world to me.
Jamie, will you show him Call of Duty?
So this is kind of professional, but not really professional.
You're an entertainer.
Right. But you're playing and you're making money.
Like, I'm a part-time streamer because I still compete.
See, I think the genius of this is the whole donation thing. The genius of this is getting people to donate and the fact that these guys can... So how else can they make money? They can make money by donating.
Well, you have a subscription service, right?
Subscription.
So that's like you could rely on your salary. If you have 2,000 subs consistently and it fluctuates...
And it's always $4.99?
Well, some people negotiate, I think, to $6, but you split that. So like the average person gets 50%. I get 70%.
How dare
you? The top people get like 90%. Like there's guys that have a shitload of subs and they play all day.
Wow, so they get 90%?
So this guy named Lyric, or $4 out of the five, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's 80%.
Right.
And he has like around 10,000 subs as of last month, so that's automatically 40 grand a month he's making.
Jesus.
Just from his subs, and then donations.
That's a half a million dollars a year.
Oh yeah, he makes over a half a million dollars a year, I'm sure.
That's incredible. And he's doing that all on Twitch.
While getting his bachelor's in computer science.
That's amazing.
I think he just graduated. Congratulations, Lyric.
Dude, fuck yeah. So that guy doesn't even have to be the best of the best.
No, that's the thing, is the entertainment value. Yeah.
Wow.
Interactivity.
Look at his fucking numbers. 81 million people have watched him.
He's not even on right now. There's people in his chat room.
My God. 81 million. That is fucking incredible.
Yeah, your chat becomes like a community. home for people. So they literally will hang out in there.
I see.
And you could, like, you have all these little emoticons. See how it's got, like, a little cat face? That's his icon. You could paste all sorts of dumb little things. And
wow.
It becomes, like, a fun way for people to... They'll be in someone else's chat, and they'll spam my emoticon, like... Nothing.
That's fucking incredible. Now I'm really intrigued.
It's interesting because they really took the formula from porn. You know how porn always starts off first, and they always invent it first, and then they moved it into like having the donations in the chat room and all that stuff.
My free camps.
But the hot girl thing is huge, so that's why I've been trying to get all the girls on here to do it, playing video
games. You're pimping them out, bro. I like it. Yeah. It's a good move.
It's a career now. Like these girls, like especially porn stars, when they get to an end of their porn star life, they're like, what am I going to do now? I have no job. Start playing Mario Brothers. I'm sure you can fucking make
read a book, ho.
$1,000.
Here's the dictionary.
So let's go to another one, Jamie, because this is interesting. This lyric guy, I like that. I love what he's doing. So how did that guy get so big? Why is he so big?
Some of it's a domino snowball.
Is he a killer
effect.
Player?
He plays all sorts of games. He's got a radio voice. So
let me see before you. I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to see what other games are available.
Yeah, this is Grand Theft Auto.
So he's got a radio voice?
Oh, the lyric, he actually doesn't even have a webcam. It blows my mind how popular he is without even a camera.
So nobody knows what he looks like?
Well, they do because he's shown up at a couple like conventions.
So they take pictures of him. We know him now.
Yeah, they know him now. Exactly.
Shows up with a fucking one of those Guy Fawkes masks. Yeah. Let's see. Scroll down. Call of Duty. Poker. What is H1Z1?
That was made by Sony. It's like a survival zombie... Like
it's like a shitty version of Grand Theft Auto.
You run around and it's like a mass world.
Okay, this is a game I've never heard of. How many people are watching this cat when he's playing?
He's a new partner, only 1,000, yeah. Which is pretty good for like an average person. They're going to be able to turn that into like a moderate small day job and not have to.
And he's got 277,000 views.
Instead of working at Starbucks, you're a low level Twitch streamer,
right?
Something.
Yeah, so, okay, this guy's probably making a couple grand a month, maybe? $1,000 a month?
He's got a subscriber button, so yeah, maybe if he's working hard.
So maybe it pays for his rent.
There you go, yeah.
Wow. And so this is a weird game where it's a third-person thing, and you're running around, and you're fighting zombies, and he's... Okay, this is a stupid game.
Yeah.
Boring. All right, what
Grand
else
Theft
we got?
Auto.
Scroll down. But I want to see what games are available, not just Grand Theft Auto.
Every single game is available.
They have Quake on here?
Yeah.
Let me see that. Go to that.
You can pretty much play any single game.
Diablo. Jesus Christ.
But only if people are playing the game will it be here.
Yeah.
So, like, sure. Quake, I love. I should text my Quake friends right now.
It's a dead game, huh?
Yeah, but I love watching Quake. I went to QuakeCon a couple times in Texas.
Oh, it's incredible. Half-Life's still available, huh? No, keep scrolling. Let's see.
You can also type Quake in the top left and see if that pops up.
A lot of weird games I've never even heard of. I mean, how does someone even create a new game now when these people get so addicted to the chess?
Yep, chess.
Is video chess? Is that what it is? Yeah. I like how chess is like a wizard. Everyone else is like a young kid.
Remember Battle Chess?
Like an old wizard.
A big beard.
Battle Chess?
Battle Chess, where it was
they had box.
Battle Chess.
Where they were like fighter. It was like a game that was for like early computers. And it was chess, but the guys would be knights and they would be animated and they would like cut the other person in half.
Can I grab that hot water from you?
Oh, yeah.
Tea. Oh, yeah. Technology all over the place.
Playing Quake Live. That was it. Oh, but can you watch the video?
Team Deathmatch. Team Deathmatch. Team Deathmatch. So is that what this is?
Yeah, this is
We're going to watch a stream. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. See, like, the graphics are quite a bit better in this than they are on the Counter-Strike, but even this is old. This is Quake 3.
Dude, I love this shit, though. My favorite tournaments to watch back in the day were, like, the Painkiller Quake, Unreal Tournament.
Well, what's interesting to me, you know, these games, it seems like you get hooked on one, and that one game becomes your shit, but then you run the risk of being left behind, because then new games come out...
So I think the more legitimate thing esports gets, obviously there's more interest for the game developers to keep their game lasting, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past it was like, buy the new game, how are we going to make money? We need to come out with a new game so people buy it. But now there's way more ways for them to make money. So in Counter-Strike, you could change the way your AK-47 looks now. You could put a blue dragon decal on it and you pay $5 for that decal, or $30 or $2, or depending on how rare the decal is. And that... is used to crowdfund for them to make money and for us to have tournaments. So Valve now, the creators of Counter-Strike, hosts a $250,000 tournament like every couple months from the money they get from the microeconomy they created for Counter-Strike.
God, this is insane.
That's why League of Legends was so big right now. Like, they sell these trinkets and garbs and things for your character, and they make like $50 million a month or whatever.
The world of video games...
Don't quote me on that.
But I get your point. The world of video games is so interesting. It's so alien to me. But I had no idea it was this deep and involved.
It's grown a lot with websites like Twitch, really combining...
How many of them are there besides Twitch?
Twitch dominates that realm. There's like Hitbox, MLG TV, Major League Gaming TV, Zubu TV. There's a couple, but no one's really has the reach that Twitch has.
Somebody just said that Kevin Pereira is twitching right now while playing a video game.
Okay, go to Kevin Pereira.
He's twitch.tv/theattack. Yeah. Let's see if this works.
Okay, let's see. Not a Hero and Other Stuff with Alex. This is Kevin?
Yep, this is Kevin right now.
Okay, crank up the volume.
Who's Kevin? I'm sorry, I don't know this.
Kevin Pereira was the host of Attack of the Show on the G4 network.
Yeah.
He's a very bright man. And he has beautiful complexion and excellent bone structure.
Look at that jawline.
Boom.
What's happening? Set it to your non-existent team. That's the one cop that they dispatched because he shot that dude in the face so much.
They're going to find out in a second.
He's got a partner.
Oh, he's only got a couple hundred viewers.
Headshot, like bitch. Logs. Oh, he's got a shotgun.
Don't let him use that on you.
Oh, sorry, bud.
He only has a couple of hundred viewers because he just got on, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Watching you now, Kevin. Oh, they're saying Joe's watching now.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Joseph Rogan.
Joe.
Hi, fella.
Joseph Rogan and Brian Redband.
Wait,
and
we should go back to his stream, right?
And the was it C9 pro gamer guy?
Hey. CSGO
see,
guy?
He knows.
Hi. Hey. Gamer guy.
What a weird world we live in, huh?
We have respect for the CSGO community.
Kevin's so funny.
We love
wonderful
that.
Just forward.
Hold it on.
Hello, kind sir.
Okay, Joe
Who cares
Rogan
to see that go around?
So is that Kevin's... studio that we're looking at in the corner?
Yeah, this is
a man cave.
This is one part of his studio. This is where he does all his Twitch gaming and stuff and his podcast.
The first thing you think of in all these rooms is like, where do they rub one out? Like, what part of the room? Like, for
well, he's gonna have he's flipping the script on us. You motherfucker.
Oh shit.
All right, how can we do this? Let's enter the Matrix. We can somehow...
So now we're going to...
There's a lag, though, unfortunately.
It's probably like 7 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Stream delay. So probably about a minute plus, 30.
Look at that. He just opened the floodgate of racist.
No, everybody... It's always racist stuff. It's always racist stuff for some reason.
How do you subs only?
Subscribers. Slash subscribers.
There we go. Oh, I'm not logged in. Are you logged in?
Joe Rogan wants to see the studio.
Are you logged in?
Yeah, I want to see your studio.
Show Joe the studio.
Oh, how cool.
This is getting way confusing.
This is so bizarre. This is like two mirrors facing each other. Ooh, nice Sriracha shirt, sir.
Get that at Target.
Oh, Kevin Pereira with a dope studio.
Can we go full screen?
Go full screen on the cam.
Look at those.
Hey, Kevin, we're finally getting to hear you now.
Here's a studio
look
at that. You want that, JR?
Oh, this is dope.
You want that experience?
Yeah.
You want that experience?
That's the podcast table.
Oh, nice.
This is, Alex. And then, well, we want to show them the band room, but I don't even know how we get out there.
The band room.
All right. Can you sprint?
So this is a place he's renting?
They need like a USB extension cord. Walk me.
Look at this. This is hilarious. Boy, this is so bizarre. Watching Kevin.
Oh, he's doing an upstairs.
Hey, I want to see your dick. Hey, get out of there. So we're watching Kevin Pereira, and it's The Attack on Twitch.
We'll get it going.
I see you're hearing.
Too far in. Los looks bro as fuck today.
Backwards hat.
Los broed out.
Wow, this is very strange.
Oh, Joe, just wait. I'm going to give you the...
Kevin, we're finally getting to hear you now.
Here's a studio. Wow, this is interesting.
Oh, so he's... Now he's got
it. This is freaking me out.
Look, wow. Now we've got the... Bar on bar.
Now it's bar them watching us watching them. This is fucking strange.
I think we can time travel somehow. Right
I think
now.
We just did. Look what we're doing here. We're showing his dick again.
Oh,
Jesus,
no.
We're back to his
double dick.
Joe's got a full head of hair. What's good?
This is all so bizarre.
It's like the mailbox or whatever that movie was.
My voice just got deeper.
So this is Kevin's studio. And he plays video games out of here as well?
Yeah, this is his Twitch room and his podcast room on this side. And then on the other side he has... Oh, jeez, there's got four... Oh, let's see. Which one's real now? I don't even know which one's...
Wow. The one on the lower right-hand corner is real time. The one on the left is like what he's getting from us on Ustream. So the left one is the Ustream one because it's a delay, and the one on the lower right is real time. Wow, this is crazy. He's got a sweet setup, man.
Yeah.
Again, he's going to show his dick. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Three dicks.
It's the same thing, though, over and over again. Now there's like, now why is there three different levels in the bottom?
I don't know.
So does he have a bunch of employees or something?
Who he's got a full staff over there. I mean,
what are they doing?
Receptionist. They play video games and live the life.
But why does he have a receptionist? What's the receptionist there for?
Just to play video games and stuff like that. So here's his second room. So this is like where he plays pinball and foosball. It's a bunch of couches. This also has a humongous green screen on the side. Here's his kitchen area, which is like a bar in the middle. Here's his bar. Here, you can just turn it up. So this
You're
is like.
A, well, Joe has a pool table.
Look at this.
A drink of whatever poison you'd like.
Wow, he has a bar.
And then,
this is the best room right
through
here.
Through here. Well, okay.
This is really fascinating. Oh, and Kevin, it's a whole recording studio set up.
He's not messing around.
Charity sessions and whatnot.
Oh, my God, his place must be huge.
It is. And these walls fold out. Show them the walls.
Because we have issues. And then loungy sort of hangout area. But we can also unlatch these big barn doors here and push them out.
They just push out.
And then we have room for like 150 people.
So he has shows there.
Yeah, he has live shows, concerts and stuff. Invites his friends and fans.
Touch dicks. We can dog.
Wow, this is crazy. Kevin Pereira is taking it to the next level.
Playing ping pong by himself.
Damn.
Wow. So he has all these people that work for him. Like, how is he generating revenue?
Does he have a
doing
laptop
this?
Right now?
Twitch, baby.
Really?
Twitch, yeah. Podcasting, all
They've
this stuff.
They've got some other shows they do and some productions they do for other companies. And they have a whole production company. Please come on by. You haven't done my
podcast yet. Okay.
In the studio. We'll hang out and whatnot.
Okay. All right. Well, tell Kevin I said thanks. Pretty dope. Wow, this is amazing. He's got like 10 fucking people working for him.
Oh, yeah.
This is so strange. Kevin took it to the next level.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, he took what we did and went like five steps beyond. Mm. One step beyond.
See, that's the problem, though, is when you start showing where you live, that's the whole other side of things.
Mm.
We've had bad experiences with that.
What have you had, like swatting?
Oh, I fucking hate that.
Mm, swatting's not
There's a pretty funny video, actually, on YouTube of them clearing my room with like...
Oh, so you that actually happened with you.
That was you.
Oh, right. Oh. So while you were playing a game, someone called the SWAT team on you.
Well, it started...
What the fuck?
It started something else. It started
people
ordering me pizzas at first. And like shit, not paying for them, right? So they wouldn't pay for them. I'd get a bunch of pizzas. Sorry, guys. Here's a couple bucks. You wasted your time. Can I have that pizza? But they would leave. Fire trucks then would next. Like, oh, they said your house is burning down. Obviously, it's not.
Oh, God.
And then like a month later, I'm just chilling. And
this is you?
So, yeah, I'm in my room right here. I see my dad out front walk down the street. I was like, I heard an alarm, but it's not loud now. So what's going on? I said, guys, I'll be right back. I was playing the game. And this is like 20 minutes later.
Oh, my God.
So there's a pretty funny edited version. I don't know if this is the one.
So they don't know. Yeah. Right now, that this isn't real.
No, I even told them because they're about to come in with the canine units. I was like, "Hey, there's a couple cats in there. Can you just chill in the canine units?" They're like, "We're looking for dead bodies. We can't adhere to like what you want." I was like, "Guys, you're getting pranked right now. Like, look me up on YouTube while your guys are storming the house. Like, you're getting pranked. Like, I have no."
So you had to tell them that they're getting pranked.
Well, someone called.
Jesus Christ! They're coming in with fucking guns and.
They had me and my dad in handcuffs on the end of the.
No way.
So
you were handcuffed.
So someone called and said I had murdered my neighbor and had someone else hostage, and they called through like a proxy. DNS or whatever, and or you know what do they call it, a VPN, so you can't trace where they call from.
So did you give out your address online
funny.
Or did someone Google
someone
it?
They I guess my someone found my Skype username and then traced a log for all the calls that are where they calls most frequently from, and they just like triangulated my house IP address, and then they did something called doxing where they get everything about my house and my personal info.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's a real issue, right, with the swatting. I've seen that on TV a bunch of times.
Well, like real celebrities, that supposedly is like a big issue because it happens all the time, little things like this.
I don't even like saying that word.
For me, all I had to do was, after I just talked to the police chief, I was like, guys, this happened a couple of times. Like, please don't respond like this again. Like, here's my number.
Right, but then what if somebody wants to murder you? So what they do is they
dox you. So they have to send
you.
One guy.
They have to. So they said every time. Yeah. But someone could just do this all day long.
So they put a little asterisk, they said, near my house address, and they have a message for their crew. It's a little protocol now.
Wow. That would be scary as fuck, man. Okay, let's get out of this. That would be scary as fuck.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I actually knew what was happening right away.
So it wasn't scary.
So my dad was kind of tripping out, but I walked out to see what was going on. And right when I opened my front door, as you saw, I was in like a tank top and shorts.
But if you had a dog, they could have shot your
dog.
I've
talked about that to friends. I would have been so fucking furious if any animal of mine was killed. But luckily, my Rottweiler had already. No dogs there. My Rottweiler wasn't there.
But that's not normal. Like, so a lot of times people have the dog inside the house. Well, and if they come inside, they'll just shoot your dog.
Yeah, and they'll kick down the door. So like I said, luckily they were at the end of the block when I walked out, and I looked and I see all these guys behind bushes and tree lines with M16s pointing at me. I was like, oh,
fuck, douchebags. God damn, man. I don't have a gun.
You get pranked, and I don't give a shit. Walk down the center of the street. I'm like, cool, I'm doing it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the worry, is like, what if no one was home? I'm home alone, I have my dog, I'm chilling at my apartment, and they come up and fucking blow my window in, kick down the door. They see my expression, like surprised or angry because I just died in the game, or I say, hey, bomb down. And then they're at the door behind me while I'm communicating that to my teammates. They bust in the door and fucking club me over the head or something.
How often does this happen?
A lot.
There is another video, actually, someone online who got more surprised, where he realized he was being swatted. He's like,
Yeah, I've seen that.
People are clearing my house. I think I'm getting swatted, and they kind of like do that. I've seen that.
I've seen a few of them. Now, there's no way they can stop that. I mean, how could they stop that right now with current technology?
Well, like I said, only once it's happened at that address. They have a protocol then about don't
Jesus
let it happen
fucking
again.
Christ.
One of the kids who supposedly did it to me got caught, and they caught him because he did 18 different swatting. He's from Vegas, a 19-year-old kid from Vegas. He's sentenced to 5 years.
Oh, my God. He's doing jail time.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's 19.
Oh, my God.
It's the same type of kids who do those denial of service attacks. It's a big problem in gaming. You know, the DDoS. They flood your internet. If they drive here, now I'm sure they're trying to fuck your show.
Yeah, we've had it before. Yeah.
It's like, I try to picture the person that, like, what kind of, like, gang initiation of nerds, and they're all, like, circle jerking in, like, some kind of, like, tech lab dungeon.
You're going to call their fury.
Dude.
Right now, you're calling them.
Yeah, I gotta
stop. It's like saying Candyman.
I know. It's like talking about 4chan
or
something
right now.
Change
the topic.
Let's talk about 4chan.
What's your favorite flavor pizza?
It's just fascinating to me that we're in this weird world where all this stuff is kind of going on at the same time. Like the interaction of this Twitch stuff. Go back to that Twitch website again. I find this the most fascinating because this seems to me to be almost better than professional gaming, like being good at it. It seems like what you need to do is be like that Lyric guy and just be kind of entertaining. Like, what is that guy's skill level? He's like really good. Keep scrolling down. We'll see what other games they have.
The decision between being a streamer and a pro gamer is mostly pride, right? Like, you compete and you want to win and be considered good at something.
Right.
And you.
What's creative?
And you travel around a lot.
What's that? What's creative?
Oh, that's just creative. Oh, drawing.
People drawing? Come on. They have video games of someone drawing.
No, it's just people drawing.
Yeah, go there. Let's see this. Mind Occupied. How many people are watching this guy draw?
30.
30 people. He's got 59.
There's a game development one, too. People watch people.
This actually, guy's a talented artist.
Yep.
So you get to watch him draw. And is he drawing in Photoshop? Is that what's going on? Or is he taking
close to it.
Like, the popularity of Periscope is based on the same formula. Also, everyone having their own TV shows, subscribing to his feedback, chat rooms, all this stuff is the future.
Now, he's doing this with a Wacom, like one of those tablets?
Yeah, this is Photoshop. Using Wacom.
You can just broadcast anything from your computer, almost. It's just a matter of if they're going to allow you to put it on their service.
This guy's chat is bullshit. Let's storm this guy's chat.
That's 28 people. Yeah, everyone blew up the chat.
Well, they haven't heard us yet. There it goes. Bam. It takes like 15 seconds. There
and the
it
viewer
is.
Count
it's
won't
whole,
update either.
Your whole
right
chat,
away.
Son.
So you might have 500 in there, but it won't refresh yet.
Ask for permission before posting a link. Purge.
Yeah, you can't put
racism
links in there. There's some weird things you can
do. Oh, my God. Racism again.
Racism again.
But that's he didn't say the N-word because he uses the number one instead of an I, so it's okay.
Yeah, you have to do the filter.
Wow, this is this N-word thing is rude.
Hi,
can someone please call me a spick or maybe even a chink?
Because
I'm just tired of the N-word.
That's one thing that's weird about the gaming community. With like Xbox Live or online chat or anything, it's just racist. Like there's no like everyone's racist on Xbox Live.
So because it's forbidden, right? Now let me ask you this: what was your take on this whole Gamergate thing? Did that affect you at all? Or are you like, what are you nerds fighting over? And for folks who don't know what Gamergate was, you know, it's it kind of started out as some sort of a fight over online journalism and became something about feminism and social justice warriors and all kinds of craziness.
Yeah, that was honestly, I don't even know the whole story. I only heard about it partially because people were talking about the female side of things, and I remember a lot of the companies I worked with, immediately I saw a change in the direction of marketing. They're like, put females on all of our adverts. Like,
because, really?
Because they wanted to be like, we support female gamers.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
So, patronizing.
Yeah, I don't need to say specific companies, but I saw a lot of these esports companies, like, instead of having a guy wearing the gaming headset, it was a girl now, like, by the way, like, we do like gamers, like, or girl gamers, rather. So
their response to it was to say that they're supportive of female gaming.
Yeah, and supporting girl streamers on Twitch.
The whole thing was just so bizarre because it all happened out of one gal was banging some dude who was a video game.
Yeah, I actually don't
game.
Know the whole story. I never really researched
it. Nobody knows
much.
It. It's legendary. It's like the story of Jesus. There's like a bunch of different versions of it. You know, some of them go all the way back to Thor. The whole thing, it's very strange. It's very strange when you have these little satellite communities and they branch off and they do battle with each other.
Yeah, I tried to watch one of those 2-minute videos that explained everything and I couldn't even figure it out from that.
Like, I tried. I just couldn't tolerate it. It was just so nonsensical. But it was like a lot of it just seemed like, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of bullshit on both sides, you know. So you didn't even pay attention, like the hardcore gamers, like you're like so insulated deep in the hive that you didn't even hear the rumbling outside.
My managers, yeah, exactly. My managers from like I play on a team called Cloud9, they were talking about it because it was like their sponsors discussed with them about what it was. But I didn't hear about it until after it happened. I was like, wait, what was this thing? Oh, like.
What were you trying to say, Jamie?
The drawing went offline.
What?
Everyone in the chat made him go offline, basically.
Oh. He's angry. His mind's no longer occupied.
He's not able
now he has
to
319 people watching, though. Yeah. I killed his stream.
There's a cool video on YouTube. I don't know,
Singularity
Jamie.
Singularity is happening.
I can send you this video. Somebody just sent me of somebody getting robbed while twitching. So they're twitching, and then in the background, you see them getting robbed.
Like someone stealing things from their house?
Yeah, here. Jamie, I
oh, so that girl, right?
I just sent it to
you. So they're playing, and behind them, people are stealing things?
Yeah, it's a girl. Pretty cute girl, it looks
and
like.
And she doesn't even know? Yeah, maybe people do stuff like that. How many people are faking things like that just to get people to watch them? Yeah. Okay, so we're kind of getting off track here. So this Twitch thing seems like a viable source of revenue, obviously. But if you bank on that, sort of the same thing as like your dad was saying. Like, this is a volatile industry that you're entering into.
The one thing I will give people who go big on Twitch, though, is as you see, like, Lyric, he doesn't necessarily have a marriage to one game. So when a new game comes out, his following is just like, fuck it, go play that game and we'll be entertained. So that's the benefit. And that's why I have dabbled in streaming. I'm not a full-time streamer, but I could pay my bills with streaming. And I go on there and I try to stream when I don't have, like, a big tournament coming
out. You could
out.
Pay your bills with streaming. Wow, that is fucking crazy. So you could, just for a goof, you could say, oh, you know, like, some people have, like, a little side job. Like, that, your side job could be streaming and that could, like, pay for your rent.
Yeah, definitely. And the cool thing is, obviously, it's your own hours. It's being an Uber driver or something.
Exactly, but way more money than an Uber driver.
Yeah, well, and the tips. Uber drivers don't get donations.
Yeah, you don't get 10 grand from some dude in Dubai.
Exactly.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, this is a world that I just was not aware of. And so girls do it, and they do it because, like, hot girls can do it, and they don't even have to be good at games.
Right.
But there's a lot of girls who, like, because there's not a lot of girl pro gamers, like, in Counter-Strike. Like, I don't know the answer why. This is always a discussion. Like, why aren't there more girls at the top?
Because they're out there looking for dick.
So that's one side of the argument. Yeah, and we're looking for
girls.
You could argue that the guys aren't looking for girls, right? That are, you
know, well, they are, but they've given up. I mean, they are, but they're like, let's be realistic. Games are here and they're fun.
So you have the girls that on stream that try to, like, not portray that sexiness because they want to be taken more seriously.
Right.
So they purpose they'll have a hoodie on and they're
Yeah, there's a lot of that, right?
And I don't, it's one thing, like, I understand, like, there's this one girl, her name's Casey Tron, and she makes fun of the whole thing. She's got big boobs as it is, but she pushes him up, has the camera, like, angled in on it, and she constantly says, like, stupid shit and, like, makes, like, sexual innuendos all the time and, like, just different jokes on her stream because she wants to embrace the chaos that is the Twitch chat and just kind of...
Right. And how did... And what kind of, like, numbers does she get?
I mean, she definitely... It's definitely a full-time job for her. She can make money.
Wow. So you could actually make what a lawyer makes or a doctor makes.
$250,000, yeah.
Boing, that is so crazy. I don't know why this is so surprising to me.
The TV networks are shitting their pants because of things like this, Twitch. Because the net, you know, more people are watching video games now than they are watching TV.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but there's a lot of channels, man. There's 250 channels just on DirecTV or something like that. More than that, probably, right?
Yeah, but most of these games, like, they're getting way more viewers per day than an episode of Grey's Anatomy nowadays.
Well, see, I saw this thing about The Ultimate Fighter, you know, the UFC show, the reality show, mm-hmm. where someone was saying that I don't know if this is true, but The Ultimate Fighter only had 246,000 people watch one of the episodes, which is just, mm-hmm. I mean, that's way less than we get for a podcast.
Like, that's normal.
That's normal.
Nowadays.
That's normal for Twitch. What are you saying?
It's normal nowadays for the low numbers on TV, on cable.
But it's not, because that's like way lower than what it's been before.
Well, like, as an example, there's a show that's on one of these, like, Oxygen networks or something like that at 10 p.m. On a Tuesday. What would you think the numbers are for that 10 p.m. on a Tuesday on an Oxygen network show?
I don't know how well they even can figure that out, man. Can you figure that out?
You can more so nowadays, I think, than you used to be able to, because nowadays those numbers of the cable companies are sold to.
Yeah, that data is all.
That's all data is
shared and sold.
Right, but that's the question is, how do they know? Like,
well, the
used to be,
networks can monitor all that, obviously, right?
I don't know. It used to be Nielsen ratings. It used to be you have to have a Nielsen box on your television.
That's old school shit.
Yeah, and then I think they still use that, though. I don't think they're...
They know when people watch a DVR show within 24 hours. Like, that's added into it.
A DVR show.
So they have to be monitoring your DVR box to know if you have watched it. You know?
My DVR, though. But that is that watching it live? Can they figure
sometimes
that out as well?
It's added into that live number, so they'll give you 24 hours.
But they don't add that into the ratings. Like, if you watch television ratings, that's not included in the ratings. Like, if you see, like, Big Bang Theory, if that's the number one show... They don't factor in DirecTV. I don't believe they do.
I think it just depends on what day you're looking at it. They might wait two more days and they'll give you the updated facts with the
But just like I have numbers on Twitch, I imagine all these channels have access to that.
Well, that was the debate. The debate, though, in television was whether or not to include the DirecTV numbers, because DirecTV numbers were different than the numbers they were getting off of regular television.
Also, as many people watching the television together, is there five people watching one screen?
You got to talk right into that, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's closer. Is there five people watching one screen, right? That's like that's obviously the variables. On a computer, you have to fill out info when you make a Twitch account, which makes it that much more valuable. All the info is like age-based. They know how old you are.
Oh, okay. Here it goes. Netflix
they don't
ratings.
Even share it. Netflix won't share it.
They won't tell you. They don't need to tell you. They're like, "Fuck you, we're Netflix, bitch."
Well, yeah. Internally, they obviously have all the.
Well, they have 70 million people on Netflix now, paying $7 a month. Motherfucker.
More than that,
motherfuckers. I think it's just 70 million. Well, Jamie, you can find
it's
out.
Like Hulu.
I don't
70.
Know if they share that either.
No, I think they do. Okay. Yeah, how many people are on Netflix? So how many people are watching House of Cards? No, they don't even tell you. They don't know. Find out how many people are on Netflix. I think it's 70 million. But so yeah, this Ultimate Fighter, episode 4 of last week's Ultimate Fighter only did 286,000 views.
Yeah, that's like a Counter-Strike tournament nowadays.
Is that really a Counter-Strike tournament? That's what you would get?
Well, the last major we had over a million concurrent.
Fucking Christ. Yeah. A million watching at the same time. My God. That's amazing.
And League of Legends and those ones are monstrous too, because they have weekly events this size.
That is unbelievable, man. We are living in strange times.
They awesome
crossed
times, right?
40 million domestic subscribers.
40 million domestic, yeah. But worldwide. I think worldwide they said it was 70.
I'm looking at a Forbes article with it.
But even that, 40 million domestic at $7 a month. Hoo-hoo, they got cash, baby.
So the one side to Twitch ads, or the one downside to Twitch ads is that ad block, right, on Chrome. So, like, some ads don't get shown, so that doesn't go towards the counts per millennia, the CPM or whatever, the rate you get per 1,000 viewers. So, obviously on a TV box, you can't turn off the commercial. You could switch the channel, but online you could literally, like, disable the ad so that you're always watching the streamer. Because I could run an ad every 8 minutes. Some people don't want to see the ad. They just want to watch Jordan.
Right.
So when I run a commercial, I try to make an effort to leave the room so people aren't encouraged to turn off ad block. So there's nothing going on during my commercial.
So your commercials are scheduled?
No, 8 minutes. I have a dashboard. I could run a 30, 60, 90, 120, 150-second commercial.
And how does that work? You get a piece of the ad?
Yep. So per every 1,000 viewers, I get a rate, like $3 to $5 per commercial I run. So if I have 4,000 viewers and I run a commercial at prime hours, that's 30 seconds, I'll get like $20 or something for like a couple thousand viewers. So you could run for an hour, that's $80 an hour or whatever.
But they have to be they still have to tune into it.
Yeah, they have to be tuned in. That's like live action. Like sometimes if I'm having a really funny stream and everything, there's a bunch of cool shit happening, I don't want to like interrupt with an advert, like a commercial, right?
Right.
But if I'm just playing a game and I'm like, all right, guys, I'm gonna go take a piss, get some food, a snack really quick. I'm gonna run a 2 minute commercial. But I try to never interrupt the action.
And these 2 minute commercials, they trailers for movies, like what is
yeah.
It?
So it draws from a random rotator that. That's how Twitch makes also their money. So these companies pay Twitch maybe $10,000 to run their ad for this Friday.
So you don't get to choose. You couldn't say like, hey, I'd like to have a Chevy ad right now.
But no, but what I can do is have advertisers pay me directly and run their pre-rolls as my stream and never run a commercial through Twitch.
Or do an internal advertisement inside the show like what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Or could you have product placement? Like, look, you know what goes good with gaming? Coca-Cola.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm doing. When I play on my stream, I have my sponsor's headphones on. I have their keyboard. Their
and they pay you monthly or
Well, those
annually?
Are the people who support me to fly to like Europe and all over the world each month. I just got back from London this weekend. That's, you know, big event.
Samsung.
Get away from me. So I have two phones, right? I have to disactivate my iPhone because I got sponsored by HTC recently.
Oh, you had to deactivate your phone because
I still have
it
because I have an unlimited data plan, so I've been resisting, but I have the new HTC M9, which I use for everything else aside from
I didn't even know the M9 was out.
Just came out.
When? A week ago?
Yeah, I think I got it like right as before.
The M8 was pretty dope.
M8 was dope. So
how much better is the M9?
Honestly,
let's see it, bitch. Pull it out.
You know, the family plan on T-Mobile, family plan on T-Mobile is unlimited LTE data.
That's my music player.
T-Mobile's your music player?
No, I said my HTC's in my car because it's a music player.
Oh, I see. I understand. So this is a whole new world that I'm being introduced to, this world of streaming. I mean, the world of competitive video games. I'm scared. I don't want to be sweaty on you.
Yeah.
The world of competitive video games, I was kind of aware of, and I knew about these enormous StarCraft tournaments where people are, you know,
Korea.
Watching it on television. Yeah, Korea, it's still huge, right?
Yeah, that's why StarCraft 1 died. It got so big that everyone was throwing matches for money.
Throwing it? Oh.
Here's $20,000. Lose your next game.
No way. Really?
And then there's betting because, you know, Korea's... It got big really fast.
I ate bad noodle.
People always find a way to fuck things up,
That's
don't they?
That's kind of what happened to the original StarCraft. Because that game was badass. I don't think they needed to change it too much. They could have just updated the graphics a little.
And what happened?
Well, that kind of ruined part of the integrity of the Korean scene, which was like the dominant... Those guys are like insane. Like the way they practice, the way they play was like just clear-cut, more efficient, smarter, better than everyone in the world. So when their scene was... infected that way, it kind of
is that a cultural issue? Like you were talking about Europe and Korea, is there like a stigma on it in America that doesn't exist in Europe and Korea?
Well, definitely. When I go to Sweden, it's like being a pro surfer in California.
Really?
Not everyone recognizes me, but I will get recognized every day over there. So like, I'll be in a McDonald's and someone will be like, "Oh shit, hey, what up, nothing?" And I'll be like, "You here for DreamHack? Yeah, cool."
Whoa.
But not everyone in the room will know who I am, but that one guy will. Like my buddies from Sweden, the team NIP, they're the best team from Sweden. When most of those guys walk around in Sweden, they're recognized 20, 30 times a day. That's like normal, at least. Like,
so
oh,
there's
everyone.
Fucking, they're celebrities.
They're celebrities in their city for
Is it
sure.
like comparable to like a Daniel Negreanu, who's a
Maybe.
Big-time poker player?
Yeah, something like that.
Or Phil, what's
Phil
his name?
Ivey.
Phil Ivey. Is it comparable to that or more?
I would say more like the surfing analogy is probably better because I guess those guys are in the region.
Right,
more,
in the
right?
world, right. Wow, that is unbelievable.
Kelly Slater or something.
Yeah, well, he's pretty famous huge. Worldwide.
So that would be like Fatality, that one guy. I'm sure you've
right.
heard his name in the past.
Yeah, I know
compete.
That dude. He's done, right?
Yeah, he just does all sorts of marketing. Best gamer in the world still,
yeah.
He was really good at Quake, but obviously all the new current players could beat him, you know, stuff. Rafa is like the best Quake player ever.
He is?
Yeah, Shane Hendrickson.
Well, whatever happened to that one dude, what was his name, Immortal? No, the fuck's his name?
There's Vu.
There was a guy who was an Asian cat who had his own, he had like a whole server and a whole website, rather. God damn it.
Well, I have a website.
The best immediately, like in the early days.
Was it Quake?
I feel like his name was Immortal. But he stopped playing.
Probably should know this.
And he stopped playing and started developing products and, you know, a gaming website. And I think for a lot of those guys, the actual gameplay is so involving. Like, you have to practice 8-10 hours a day.
Yeah. I've experienced the lethargy of it. Like, because it's a novelty, right? You do something, you're so into it because it's new and exciting to compete. Well, a lot of these pro MLB and NFL players probably wouldn't be in it if they're barely making a wage. They would probably say, yeah, that was fun, but it's not worth it. Getting right. my head bashed in. Well, I'm not getting my head bashed in, but I am spending a lot of time inside. I am neglecting. My hours are odd, right? I practice, like, to the evening. So a lot of my friendship hangouts have to be, like, weird hours or weekends or when I have no tournament. So there is downsides to everything, right? So, like, for me, the novelty has gone away a little bit. Like, I don't play many games anymore. I'm not a video game player. I'm a Counter-Strike player. And so I don't, in my free time, I'm not just like, let me flip on my PlayStation 4. It's like, no, let me go outside. Let me go do, I play ice hockey still once a week. I play golf sometimes. I try to stay active because I would go insane being inside all day. I have one teammate right now who's very new to the pro scene. He plays all day. He streams all night. He's going to make way more than all of us because he literally does. He won't leave his house for 2 weeks and he's still totally sane, happy, like totally
How's
positive.
How's that possible?
It's just a way. It'll go away probably eventually, but he's in that state where his friends are online and it's not like you're by yourself. You're dealing with. You played Quake, right, with your friends, right? He's very interactive. We're all very interactive. He loves gaming. I was at that stage one time where I didn't mind not going out for the whole weekend and I'd just LAN with my friends. After a while, depending on how you've balanced your life, obviously you want to do other things in your day, right? You want to feel fulfilled as a human. I took up golf a couple years ago just to do something else and try to be decently skilled at it just for fun.
The kid's name was Thresh.
Thresh, yep.
Yeah.
He won, like, what did he win, like a Ferrari or something? I remember.
Well, he was like one of the...
Fong started. Yeah, that's He started him. X-Fire, I think, a big company now.
Yeah, that's right? Thresh.
Is that X-Fire?
He was like the best player or one of the best players at the time. I remember watching that guy.
He was like the first pro gamer.
Yeah, watching him play in demos. You're like, Jesus Christ. And then he came up with a website and he had like a gaming news portal. Yeah.
He definitely paved the way.
Joe, and of all the shows that we've ever done, Joe Rogan Podcast, I don't think we've ever had 8,000 people viewing our show. But right now we have like almost 8,000 people. Viewing our show.
We haven't had that many before? What's the most we've ever had, Jamie? 5,000 before? Wow.
The gaming community. We didn't even hit it up that hard. I wasn't sure if I could announce this last week. I was like,
yeah. That is fascinating. This whole thing is just...
What's up, gamer world?
Yeah, hey, gamer fuckers. We've hit some new plateau, I think, with interactivity with this. Not we, but like the world.
That's why I'm excited for you to connect you to Twitch. I think that's going to do some cool shit for you.
Yeah, I think we need to put this thing on Twitch for sure now. It seems to me to be, there's a whole world out there of people that are involved in this that I just had no idea about. You know, I had no idea that people were making donation money and that someone could make 50 grand
a month.
Because
we weren't always, right? You know?
How often has been, I mean, how new is this? How recent is it?
Probably 2010 when it really started.
So last 5 years.
Used to be Justin TV.
Justin TV.
Oh, yeah. We used to do
that. We used to hang out with Justin.
Dude,
we used to do Justin TV from the green room at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco.
That was old Joe Rogan Experience before it was Joe Rogan Experience. We even met with them, and they were like, here, we want to give you laptops and cameras and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was like when we used to do it we did it in my hotel a few times. We did
what
it
did
in
you
green
do in your
rooms.
Hotel?
I did all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Remember I came with the bathrobe on, the leopard bathrobe for you and Joey, and I danced for you?
Do you remember the time there was that dude, and this was way, way back in the day, but he had some sort of a cellular hookup in his backpack that was attached to a laptop.
That was Justin TV.
Yeah.
And they walked around their dorm and shit.
And he had a webcam. Yeah, that's a webcam that was like on his chest or a hat or something along those lines. Yeah. And he had this like set, and they wanted to give us one of these setups and have us take it around. And I think that's where me and Brian, like, we're crossing the line here. This is just too fucking
that's
weird.
That's it next. Joe Rogan has a GoPro on his head during the UFC fight night.
But that's what Periscope is. I'm going to Periscope from this UFC this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get a service or a cell phone signal. Because I think there's a Wi-Fi.
Tether accurate.
You might want to also talk to Dana first about
it. Well, I'm not going to show the fights. I'm not going to show the fights. I'm going to periscope. I wanted a periscope like me and Goldberg, like getting ready and fucking around and let everybody know what it is. And this is what it looks like. I'm going to introduce everybody to the people that work behind the scenes and show everybody Tom Segura and Tony Hinchcliffe.
I'll just come down.
Periscope, is this a new app you're dealing with? I haven't messed with it.
Oh, yeah. Periscope is a streaming app where you stream from your cell phone.
Oh, I have using, seen
one. Yeah, so we do it all the time. At the Comedy Store, the other day, I took people on a tour of the Comedy Store. I took them up to the Belly Room. I took them down to the Comics Bar. I took them all over the place.
Very cool. I should do that, yeah.
Well, there's like there's just
go to the
new
beach, clown around or something.
You could, yeah. You could do whatever you want. I mean, you could. Could you show pornography with that?
No, I just got banned.
You got banned again?
Yeah, well, I got banned for doing
Brian.
Yeah.
What do you do in your free time?
I troll my free cams. But here, check it out.
Okay, cool.
So there's people looking at it right now. You have to hold it up and down, like, for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so this way, vertical. Yeah.
And so there's people chatting to
what
you.
What up?
And,
what's up, Edgar?
Hearts. No, the rules of Periscope.
That's trippy.
No nudity, no, like, overall sexual content.
I can't use it.
No, showing fights, because they got in a huge trouble for a lot of people streaming the Manny fight, Mayweather fight.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So they, how I got banned, though, is because of the fights. Because of the fights, they had to incorporate some kind of feature so people were showing the fights that people could report on them. So what happened to me is there was a bipolar schizophrenic cam girl named Egyptian Princess.
Doesn't that just go without saying?
Yeah. She was wearing clothes, but she was just like, it was so funny. And all these people on Reddit were like trolling her or something. So I was filming what was going on with this Reddit troll. And so many people thought I was doing the troll that they reported me and I got banned. But Periscope and
they reinstated you?
Periscope and Twitter looked at it and goes, well, that's a stupid rule because you probably have a lot of haters that would just do this every time you get on. I'm like, yep. And then
exactly.
So I think they've kind of relaxed it for me at least.
Well, at least they respect the fact that you would have some haters and that they're, you know, other than they'd take your word for it, right. You know?
It sucks because on Twitch they recently added that, like, even as a guy, you can't be seen with your shirt off on the Twitch.
Yeah.
And so, like, I did
what?
Something. Yeah, like, I did something funny one time where I killed the whole team and I didn't react at all. I got up, put my headphones down, I took my shirt off, and I walked out of the room just to, like, have a funny reaction. If I did that now, I would get, like, my channel would get shut down.
So
for
that's
an hour
like
or something.
How New York City has that law that men can take their shirts off, so women take their shirts off because they can't
nipples.
Do anything about it.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, Ari Shaffir will walk around New York City every day with no shirt on. Yeah. He does it all the time. Don't ew. He's a beautiful man.
Our society is pretty weird about that stuff.
Well, if you know, if you're allowed to show a male nipple, I look, I am fully supportive of anybody who wants to be naked. If you want to be naked and walk down the street, I think
especially
clothes,
if it's symmetrical.
Well, I just think the idea of clothes is fucking ridiculous. It's something. It's not natural. You know what's natural? Being naked. Clothes are just we're imposing this. We're imposing this to society. If you're comfortable being naked walking down the street, what, you gonna hide it from the kids?
Well, you're very intimidating when you have no shirt on. I mean, it's too much like sex and perfect muscles and stuff. So it makes some of us nervous.
It's fucking. Well, you're disgusting. So like maybe somebody had just eaten and they saw you.
So we're all going to Burning Man and we're doing a Joe Rogan podcast. And Brian's
Scott
gonna be
Jorgensen
naked.
Has a Twitch thing. Oh no, shit, man.
Oh yeah.
Scott has 725,000 fucking views.
Wasn't there another musician lately who's playing Call of Duty?
All right, I'm going to give this back to Brian.
Joe,
there's a barcode. Oh, it's,
Joe, you
I
should
love these little heart things.
You should do UFC Twitch. You ever play the UFC game?
I have to do some. You know what I'll do? I should. Well, I have to do some voiceover for the newer version of it because they have new updated versions of it every year. So this year I have to go in in a couple weeks. It's a fucking laborious task. I have to fake fights. Like now, fake fights are going on.
Is there ever going to be a playable character of you? Because that's what one thing that the internet has been asking for a while is having a playable Easter egg character
Dude.
Of you.
I would have to do a lot of work to do that. I'm not really interested.
You gotta.
Like, you'd have to like throw. I'd throw a bunch of kicks and get videotaped my body.
I was gonna say, man, you have a vicious kick. I saw something on Instagram. I was like, I would have just got broken in half by that kick. Oh my god, you're kicking a beanbag.
Yeah, but beanbags don't hit back. But it wasn't a beanbag.
It had a nice. It had a nice pop to it.
Beanbag.
Beanbag. Fucking beanbag. Hacky sack. Yeah.
All the above. Yeah. So this, where is this going? This is going towards virtual, right? Like that's Oculus Rift is the next stage for all this shit. I mean, that's all I'm thinking. By the way, that's what Carmack believes. Carmack and I were chatting back and forth the other day on Twitter, and one of the things that he was talking about that he's obsessed with, I guess, is Oculus Rift and the possibilities that entails. Have you fucked with Oculus at all?
I played like some weird like ocean surfing simulator thing, but playing Counter-Strike, I feel like I'd get nauseous. I want to try it, though.
See, that's the biggest problem, the biggest obstacle that they have to get over is a lot of people put it on and get sick immediately, and so it's not going to work for them.
Yeah, that's a thing, man, like with motion sickness. Like, some folks get motion sickness and some people don't. Like, some people can't, like, my wife can't get on a boat. She gets on a boat, she's like, bleh. Yeah. Like, I have no problem. I can be on waves and it doesn't affect me. And my kids are the same way. It doesn't bug them. I was worried that it would get them, but it doesn't get them. But some people, like if you're in the back seat of a car, they'll get sick. Like they have to sit in the front seat if you're going around. Yeah, like Kurt, like what is that? What the fuck is that?
Some people just can't take it. I know people that came and watch video games on TV, first person shooters, or they get sick.
Some equilibrium shift or something internally. I don't know.
So that would be a factor with Oculus.
Because I don't think it tracks your eye movement. So if you want to look to the right, I think you have to do this. Versus, like, if you wanted to look to your right with your eyes, you could look to your right.
Oh, right. Of course. So it'll be very stiff for a while. Yeah, that would be odd. But they have those omnidirectional treadmills that they're using for Oculus.
Oh, yeah.
So you would actually get some workout.
Go run in Tahiti.
Well, no. You'd be playing Counter-Strike and you'd be running.
I think that's when my like ranking in the world would really go downhill.
Right. Everybody's would. Dudes would start taking EPO and running on treadmills HGH. Every day. You would have to do something. I mean, if you think about like competitive advantages, if it's all of a sudden started becoming physical, if it shifted, gamers started being like super fit. That would be crazy. Like, you know, you remember that Dance Dance Revolution game?
God. I love that game.
That game made so many people get in shape. I mean, it really did. There was all these like success stories of people who they got into it just for being silly, you know, play a video game.
But still silly.
All that hopping around got them in incredible shape. Like guys were losing like 50, 60 pounds.
Well, the health apps on the Xbox Live are amazing now
because the Wii,
my Kinect tracks my body. So if you're doing one of the workout videos, like what is that one that PF 56
or PF PX 90
PF Chang's,
but PF Chang's
lettuce wraps.
But yeah, yes. That actually tracks your body, so it knows it's like you need to bend your arms more. Your legs aren't bending. Like it knows.
Cheating. You're trying to cheat.
Yeah.
You're trying to do half reps.
Right.
P1. Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Damn it, Brian.
Well, the Oculus thing, I would think that eventually that would be like you could do like you could spar. You could have like a martial arts simulator with like there's a person in front of you and you're fucking duking it out with some person.
Totally. Practice your little meta fighting. I don't know a lot about fighting. But
you wouldn't be able to grab them. That would be an issue. Like you wouldn't be able, like there would be no grappling stuff, but you would be able to kick and punch and stuff.
Start 3D printing opponents.
Yeah, the thing about grappling is you'd have to, you're interacting with a person's body. Like striking is kind of independent because you could kind of pretend you're hitting someone
and they react.
Yeah, and you don't really have to have a, like where jiu-jitsu, you're actually manipulating bodies and it requires correct leverage and you have weight. You're pushing weight around. But they could give you like, no, you didn't have to, you'd be fighting a robot. That wouldn't work.
It has to get way lighter first because it's like a 2 or 3 pound thing almost you're putting on your head.
What, the Oculus?
Yeah, you can't just jiggle around and move.
Right, but it's eventually going to be a neural interface. I mean, it's eventually going to be some sort of a chip that they stick in the back of your head. I don't think we're long for this world. I think human beings are going to be some weird fucking computer thing in the next 30 or 40 years. I really do. I just don't see this lasting.
Our armies are already fucking guys sitting in an airbase in Nevada just controlling drones.
That's a lot of, I mean, it's a small portion, but it's a lot of the technology they're working on now is also exoskeletons. Have you seen those?
I mean, I know, I can, I understand what you're saying, but no.
They have these insane exoskeleton suits that are allowing people to carry hundreds and hundreds of pounds. They, you don't get tired. Your body can do all sorts of things it would never be able to do before.
There's a game called Crysis that is just like that. Have you seen Crysis? Mm-hmm. You can like flip on your power suit. It's like invisibility, super strength. You can like jump over a roof and shit.
What was that Matt Damon movie?
Oh yeah, the new Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Matt Damon? Was it Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Wait.
Remember that movie? What's it called?
Elysium.
Yes. Yeah. Elysium. Remember?
He has
that suit. They screw it into his brain and he becomes like a super person because he's got this wacky...
He had to get the like Cholo version, you remember?
Yes.
he had to go...
We had to go to some weird place.
Yeah, and they're like, all right, Holmes, you owe me $100,000. Give me this suit.
Yeah, it was like a dystopian version of the future and everything was bad, but the rich people all lived in the sky in some beautiful town where Sigourney Weaver... No, it wasn't Sigourney Weaver. Who the fuck was it that was the king?
Oh, yeah.
Fatal Attraction, that broad.
C word. That's
Glenn
awesome.
Close.
Glenn Close. Glenn Close was the mayor or the queen or whatever the fuck she was.
Yo, did you see this? Oh, shit.
Oh.
It's us.
Paralyzed, and you got a brain-controlled arm.
Whoa, play that.
So he's controlling this with his brain. Thing.
And how is he doing that? How is he controlling it?
It's a computer interface. You see the interface on his head up there.
Whoa, it's drilled.
See, that's awesome.
He's
grabbing
things with his arm.
Giving disabled people the ability. One of my... Dude, there's an incredible story. I'll talk after this.
That can be a single neuron. So you can get a whole representation of a grasp, and another neuron nearby will produce a different type of grasp and be sensitive to a different type of object.
So cool.
Oh my god, he's picking up a drink.
Twitch.tv/handy.
Oh yeah, I've seen this
after
guy.
This guy, yeah. He's a friend
of
mine.
I'm doing it all by myself and everything's going good, right? I'm imagining to picking up the robotic arm. I'm extending the robotic arm towards the beer. I pick it up.
That's awesome.
I have the straw to my mouth, ready so extremely. I can practically taste the beer, right? And I drop it. I somehow release the grip on the beer, and it falls. And it falls in my lap, and it spills all over me. So that was one of the bloopers, and that was funny. But the next time I completed the task.
That guy's getting hammered with a robot arm.
Come back here, you arm. No. When he gets drunk, can he not control it with his mind anymore?
Yeah, maybe he's like drunk roboting.
Never drunk robot.
Well, I mean, that's beautiful but that's, again, what we're saying. I don't think we're long for this world. I mean, I think eventually that right now is really crude. That's like the Model T of these fucking robot things. But we're going to get to the Tesla of these robot things, and that's not that far away. And then people are going to go, well, fuck this shitty body. This fucking flesh bag that I live in that's always farting and going bad. You know, I'm getting sick all the time. Let me just fucking take my brain and stuff it into this thing that'll keep it alive indefinitely.
Well, and nano stuff is going to start overwhelming. So this guy I know personally, he plays with the nubs. He was born like this. He's got no arms or legs, and he plays using his nose and his two nubs, and he's fucking good.
Wow.
Like,
and he shoots
he's
with
better
it?
Than the, yeah, he's like better than the average player in the world.
What?
Like.
So he's like a world-class player.
Yeah, his name's Mikey. I did a little report on him, actually, back in school.
Wow.
So I grew up playing with this kid. He comes to the tournaments. Like, I go to tournaments around L.A. when I was younger. He comes there. He's sitting there smoking a cigarette. He's got, like, a little, like, thing.
Smoking a cigarette?
He pulls out his... He has a wire he pulls out of his pocket, lights up a cigarette.
A wire?
He has an assister. It's like an iron, like a hanger.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, straightened it out and, like, curved the end so he could, like, pick shit up with it. And, like, he's really creative.
Wow.
And if you watch him play, he's... Amazing.
Joe Rogan is getting the chat room right now.
Everyone say hi from Jordan to Mikey.
Hey, what's up, dude?
He's a badass guy because the stuff, like, I did a report on him. The stuff he does, like, that he's able to do, drive, skateboard, surf, fish with
drive.
Nothing.
How does he drive?
He has, like, so that's what he's building a new car now, but they're, like, extended pedals and, like, these
and that Texas.
Foot shifters or
yeah, but the guy in Texas is like much longer arms than this.
Throwing balls around.
This is incredible. So this guy, how does he write? Like when he's typing, how does he type?
Yeah, with his nubs and his nose.
He types with his nose?
Yeah, watch him switch weapons. Oh, he's dead right now.
Wow. So he's fixing his... He's talking. Hi, Jordan. You saying hi, Jordan?
Yeah, yeah. He's the homie.
Wow.
He's a cool dude. And his mindset is insane. You know, this guy is just like always just like, yeah, you just got to live life. And I'm just like, dude, you know how many people complain about such menial shit compared
right.
to what you do?
Yeah, no kidding, man. Well, perspective is a motherfucker.
Do you know if he's ticklish?
No, I don't know.
Hey, what's going on there with these guys in the game where they have money over their head?
So Counter-Strike works off economy. So you start with a pistol, you have $800. The more rounds you win, the more money you get, and the better guns you can get.
Oh, how rude.
And if you lose, that's like a big part of the competitive play is controlling your money. Because if you like force buy, it's called, where you just buy everything every round, if you keep losing, you're not going to have good inventory.
Hmm. Wow. This is a whole nother world.
You need to tell Mikey to head into deathmatch stream. Oh, he's playing a game. He can't leave it. He's playing a competitive little.
Let's go and check out a different game.
Let's
check out Grand Theft Auto. And let's see if anybody gets virtually raped. And when they do that virtual rape thing, you have to hack into the game, right?
No, I rape people all the time. Like go into like my one.
No,
of my
we're talking about when you're playing a game.
In a game, you can go like one of my favorite things to do is go to a strip club and then block the front door and then throw in a
flash bomb or something,
gas, and gas all the strippers.
Run over each other.
Yeah, and they can't get out. You could pretty much like capture
Holy
girls.
Shit.
That guy just went flying through the air right when we tuned in.
This is one of the most fun games to play and just fuck around with. Like,
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, this is the game that me and Jamie like twitch a lot together. Because we can just hang out, spend 3 hours just fucking stealing cars, going through a lot. You can go to the comedy store in this game, hang out. And there's a new hack, because the PC version just came out. There's a new hack that lets you go inside the comedy store.
When you play this, Brian, do you play this from your computer or do you use Xbox?
I use mostly Xbox, but the PC version just came out, so I have an old computer that I'm trying to use. Jamie just got a brand new computer, so he's playing kick-ass version of Grand Theft Auto, but the PC version is amazing. You just have to have a good computer, and I have like a
Process the graphics. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
because these graphics are amazing. The road looks incredible.
4K broadcast.
Yeah,
4K is
wow.
High FPS.
I just sent out another tweet.
The PC version does 4K, so you have to have even some of the top of line computers won't even barely get all the options at high right now. They made this game to last because a computer in 2 years will still have problems probably putting this on mass.
So if you wanted to get like one of those Falcon Northwest top of
the
line Alienware type
12 video cards,
yeah, and that could play it in full resolution or no?
Especially Falcon or Alienware, they're the best computers ever, Joe. They would be perfect at this.
What are you trying to say? Trying to get them to send you one? Is that what you're doing?
Razer computers make straight ones.
What?
What's up? Four people talk at the same time, Jamie? What? What are you saying?
No, I think, yeah, those would be perfect for this game. But you have to have the number one. What graphics card do you have, Jamie? You have like the...
I have an okay one. It's like an NVIDIA a 960, but I think everyone's saying like you need like a 980.
Yeah.
Do they still allow SLI where they can link them all together?
He knows a lot more about that than I do right now.
I used to do that back in the day when I used to make my own computers.
I heard, and then you had to throw it away.
Couldn't take it.
Shot them all.
The gaming addiction.
Shot a lot of hard drives.
That's a double-edged sword, right? Addiction. You go far in things because you get real immersed in it, right?
Yeah, it's just you got to understand your limitations. You got to know if you're a crazy person. I know I'm a crazy person. But it's good. Well, it's all because my brain developed doing competitive martial arts. So if you don't get obsessed with that, then you get fucked up.
Yeah. See, I was going to ask you, when you first got really into like wrestling and martial arts, what else did you do at that point in your life? Like
Nothing.
Early on, right?
When I was 14, from the time I was 14 till the time I was 21, there was nothing else in life. Between 14 and 15, somewhere, I forget when
so
I first started.
So it wears on you, you know? That's why like with gaming, I love it. And I always liked it. But like you start to realize if you want to do something else, you can't just kind of half do one, half do the other.
Well, it's also when you're doing this, you don't risk your physical health.
Yeah, well,
The martial arts thing, like a lot of guys have a real problem, like UFC fighters and even boxers. They have a hard time figuring out what they're going to do when it's over because it's so immersive, like every day. And it's a physically demanding thing. So every day when they get up in the morning, they know they have to do their training, they have to
do their physical conditioning,
they have to do their, you know, all the different skill training, whether it's wrestling or kickboxing, whatever the fuck they have to do that day. When that day's over, they do a lot of this for relaxing. They'll play video games to relax and chill out, or they'll watch television. But it's super hard to transition from that to some other life. Because they have a short life where their vehicle can... It's like, say if someone gave you a computer, okay? And this computer can only handle the graphics that are available today, but the new graphics are coming down the line, but your computer can't handle it anymore.
And you can't upgrade.
And your hard drive only has a certain amount of years on it.
Your heart and your brain.
Yeah, you can't change your hard drive. And you can't change your memory. You can't change all these different aspects. That's essentially what it's like to be an MMA fighter. There's a very, very short window.
Computer to body, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Because, like, you know, computers, if your hard drive goes bad, you get a new hard drive. And then also, when the graphics get updated, they also update the graphics processors. Yeah. There's nothing. So for a fighter, they have this really small window of opportunity, and then when it's over, it's fucking over, man. I mean, there are very few competitive 60-year-old fighters. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And when it's gone, there's nothing left, you know? But with gamers, you got to think that there's got to be an age on that, too, where you can't react quick enough, especially first-person shooter-type games.
Yeah, but I think that number has been growing, because I think of someone like Timu Solani in the NHL playing in the Stanley Cup at age 40, and you tell me I can't fucking play Counter-Strike at age 30. Like,
better example, Bernard Hopkins is 50.
Yeah.
And he's a world championship level boxer. I don't know if he has a title right now.
So that's my point. If he can still do that and still be into it and train and do everything he needs to do, like, I know I could play video games, especially now that you could actually make money off of it.
He's an outlier, though. He's a very rare individual, and he is extremely disciplined about his diet and his health. And also his skill.
Intense.
His skill level. He has a very defensive-oriented, like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather will be able to, like, he'll be like 50, 60 years old, and he's probably going to be fine. I mean, he probably won't be fighting anymore, but he's not going to be damaged. Yeah. Whereas, like, Ruslan Provodnikov or someone along those lines who has, like, a very face-first, aggressive style, that guy is not going to be able to do that into his 50s. He's not going to be able to be Bernard Hopkins unless he changes his style, like, radically.
See, I obviously don't comprehend all the nuances of fighting, but I just think of that, like, to someone playing a video game and I'm sitting here, like, how can you tell me if I don't balance my physical health that I can't play?
Well, you got to worry about your reflexes. I mean, whether or not your reflexes will still maintain, because I got to think with video games, you're dealing with such a small window of opportunity for, like, getting a shot off and stuff like that.
Yep.
That reaction time, like, do you take vitamins and do you fuck around with nootropics or anything along those lines?
So there's this company that the nootropics recently just came under my radar, and I've been trying it for the past couple of months a little bit, but not too consistently.
We'll get you some Alpha Brain.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to try. I'd love to do like a sample month or two or something, because I take like multivitamin, vitamin D, B12 in the day. I try to do that fish oil each day.
Mm.
But nootropics, it was like a Koyos or something. I don't know the brand exactly how to spell it, but I've always been interested in it ever since I heard it on your podcast first, but I never knew what they're all about.
Well, there's a bunch of different ones from different companies that I'm sure would probably benefit you. Do you fuck with caffeine? Tea here.
Yeah, I try not to overwhelm myself with like coffee. Like, I only got into coffee a couple years ago.
Do you try to do that on purpose, like to preserve your sanity? Like, what do you?
Coffee is one of those things where, like, depending on how little sleep I got and if I'm gonna compete right then, knowing I just need energy for an hour, I'll give myself a little coffee 30 minutes before, so the jitters wear down, but I have that little hour of uppityness. But generally, with competition, I have two rules. I like to get sleep, and I don't like to be on a full stomach when I compete. So,
yeah, that's a thing for comedy, too. You should never have a full stomach when you do stand-up. It'll fuck with your head. Like, if you have a full stomach, you're slow.
It takes all your blood out of your brain, doesn't it?
Just general resources.
I don't want to go down that line here too much, but I wanted to talk to you about that. Like, when you first had, what sparked your mind on getting into comedy? Because I was always like, I wanted to try doing stand-up at, like, the local comedy store in La Jolla in San Diego. I was like, I just want to do it. Like, I don't care if I suck.
Then just do it.
Yeah, is that what you do? You just literally go sign up?
Yeah, go to an open mic night. Everybody sucks in the beginning. There's no worries. Yeah. It's just to come up with some stuff that you think is funny. Write down anytime you have a funny idea, either put it in your phone
or
write it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, practice it. Sort of like get the idea of how you're going to do it. Your
demeanor or whatnot.
Well, just be yourself, man. That's the best. You know, like some people, like they'll create a persona or stuff like that, but good luck with all that. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, the secret is just being yourself.
Exfoliate like who you are and just kind of be a clown. I know I could be really good at self-depreciation, but...
Deprecation,
is that what it is?
Appreciation.
self-deprecation, is that one? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, I used to say that too. It's because you're reading it instead of saying it. Yeah, but self self-deprecation.
It sounded right because you kind of appreciate
It seems
your,
like
your
the right
internal value
say.
Over the course of the show.
But yeah, man, just go do an open mic night. That'd You're a smart fun. Guy. You'd probably be able to pull it off.
Just try, yeah.
Well, I think if you could get really good at video games, I really believe that if you get really good at anything, that they're most likely you can get good at anything that you direct your mind to. I mean, you probably wouldn't be a good linebacker because you're not a giant dude, nor would I. Yeah. You know, so it's like there's certain physical limitations, but if you get, you know, you're a really good video game player, if you put that kind of effort into becoming a stand-up, yeah, you could do it. There's nothing prohibitive about it.
At least try it. That's the fun part, right?
Yeah, well, you get better, you know, with effort. With effort and thought and focus, you get better. You analyze it. That's an interesting point. Do you watch demos of your game? Do you play them?
That's exactly what we call them, demos, yeah.
And then you watch it and go, ooh, I should have done this differently, or I have to work on that.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's probably the most, like, tedious part of it. Like, you got to make sure you're watching from both point of views, your opponent's and yours, and you rewatch them, and yeah, and you're right. That's how you get successful in anything. And with Counter-Strike, I think that was one of the differences with me as a young kid, is everyone was just playing for fun, but when I was, like, 14, 15... right away I started studying the top players. This is what are they doing? And I didn't necessarily do what they did. It just gave me a lot of confidence to know that there's patterns in some areas, and in other areas it's open to, there's variables. You could do whatever you want in this type part of the game. You could be good at this style or that style, just like in fighting, right? There's a lot of different styles.
Right.
So I noticed that early on, just by studying. So yeah, you kind of immerse yourself and figure out what your natural skill set is. For me in Counter-Strike, I had really good just like shooting abilities, but like early on I was so aggressive, so hungry to get into the fight early, that obviously if I'm not communicating that with my teammates, or I get over ambitious with a play, then all of a sudden I'm gonna die, even though I just killed two people and it seems like we should win the round, but I killed two and then went and died for no reason, whereas I can kill two, play passive, let someone else take the reins. Like, those are things I had to develop more over the game, and you have to study that, because there's a lot of kids who think they could be a pro video game player because they just have the good shot. Oh, I'm a really good sniper. Well, what kind of person are you? How do you communicate? How do you like let your teammates play off you? How do you play off them?
Yeah, there's a big difference when you're talking about team gaming, right? Gaming versus one-on-one gaming.
Yeah, but even just obviously knowing what you're good and bad at, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't just have ignorance when you go play someone who's really good at something. You're like, well, I'm just going to fuck him up at this. Well, no, he's really technically good at that. Yeah. You're technically not as good as him at that. You should probably shy away from that unless you have some way to surprise him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, are there different schools of thought? Like, are there different, like, do people train people in this? Like, do you have, like, coaches?
So I give lessons for $60 an hour.
You give lessons?
$60 an hour, I'll teach you how to play.
For real?
Yeah.
Holy shit. How does that work? Like, what do? You sit down there and watch them, or you do it online?
I make them fill out a questionnaire beforehand, so that they give. I ask them to assess themselves. They answer like 10 questions that I ask: their experience, how long they've played competition wise, what they think their qualities are that are good, bad, and then we meet up after they fill that out. We choose a schedule, and then we meet up online on the headset. I picture in picture with their screen, and then we go on a server together, and I just talk to them about some things that you need to know just about. Timings, if they don't have a lot of questions, some kids are shy or they just want me to lecture them, so I go off and I say, interrupt me when you have a question. Other kids have a lot of specific questions about, why am I not able to hit these kind of shots? I seem like I can do it in team deathmatch deathmatch practice, but not when I do a competition. I seem to get really rigid and timid. Why? How can I stay loose when I really want to win and there's pressure on the line? You know, how do I? So I just, whether it's a psychological help or literal technical things, I just try to help people.
So what this seems to me, it's like from the outside, people are looking at this like it's some frivolous, silly thing that people who really need to grow up are involved in. But from an objective perspective, without the cultural context of how people look at video games, it seems to me like a very complex, multitasked, sort of a skill-based competition. It's problem-solving at a very high level, because you're factoring a bunch of different things. You also have social interaction with all the different people in your group.
Team or community.
Your team. And then on top of that, you have to factor in the playing styles, various different aggressive or defensive playing styles of the people you're going up against. Like, it's a lot of complexity involved that I think the average person probably wouldn't understand unless maybe they talked to someone like you.
Yeah, exactly. And when I said I was doing this podcast, wanted me to try to compare it to like fighting and have you talk to me about the meta of fighting and the small nuances. Like, you know, you could tell like if a guy stepped a little weird, like what does that represent? Is his right side hurting or something like this? In Counter-Strike, there's all these little things that I know that the outside has no idea just happened because I could see the guy's face.
Because you've been there.
Because I've been right. there and I've watched it happen. And the reason that guy's playing so aggressive right now is a front. Like, he has no health. Okay. He has no grenades left. He's trying to, like, scare me away from the bomb site. I know that's what he's doing, so I'm just going to run in and kill him simply.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's what they call information chunking. You know, like you've seen it all so many times before, and you know the scenario. So you're like, I see what's happening.
So the top
here.
People play off that information, right? Like fighting, I'm sure that's what they work off of, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's scenarios that you like sometimes, like people say, like, how did you predict something in a fight? And I'm like, well, I kind of seen it so many times before. Like, well, there's also certain subtleties. Like, from actually competing, like when a guy will turn his hips, there's certain things when I know a guy's going to spin, and I'm like, he's going to spin, and then they'll throw a spin. And what it is from fighting, from actually fighting.
And you know his strength, so you know what he wants.
Yes.
His proclivity to do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, pretty much, there's very few guys who don't spin anymore. Like, spinning back fists at the very least, but spinning back kicks are getting more and more prevalent. Like, even Frankie Edgar, who's, like, primarily known as a wrestler, is throwing a lot of spinning back kicks. It's just a really effective technique. But the point being that it's just, I know that it's going to happen just because I've seen it so many fucking times. It's a very subtle movement that people will make that you have to, like, your brain goes into that information chunking mode. And they go, oh, this slight shift of his hips equates to that. So if you see a guy who's, like, behaving in a certain way, you're like, ah, I've fucking seen that
and
before. That guy
and it's not a conscious thought,
health.
Right? Just like you're saying with fighting, it's a culmination of thoughts and things you've experienced. Boom, it hits you. That's what's happening.
Well, that's with chess, too. Like, those guys that play chess, they say that when they're playing that speed chess, they've seen this game so many times. They've seen those moves. That blows me away when those guys have those clocks and they're slapping the clock and moving the piece.
Yeah, they're trying to play, like, 7-10 steps ahead because they realize, oh, that's 3 options, 4 options, 1 option, 10 options, 11 options.
Have you ever seen those old school videos of Eddie Fisher? Bobby Fisher, rather.
But I watched that. What was that movie?
Searching for Bobby
Fisher. Yeah, exactly.
That movie. Well, that was about Josh Waitzkin, who's actually a jiu-jitsu player now.
All right.
He has something to do with Marcelo Garcia. I believe he's a black belt under Marcelo. But Josh Waitzkin, it was the I think that was who they were designing that or patterning that movie. I don't know how much of it was based on real life, but the Bobby Fisher, the original videos, it's really fascinating because he would play like 10 games at a time.
Yeah.
And he would walk down this like conference table and just move the pieces. Like, see if you can find Bobby Fisher playing multiple video games or multiple chess games.
That was in the movie, right?
Probably.
I think there's one stage where they're in like a little hall and he's walking around playing all of them and these guys are like thinking hard about their one game with him.
And he's just kicking their ass, dude, like 10 people's asses at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, well, there's just, again, it's information chunking. Like, he looks down, and to me, it's, since I don't play chess, I go, well, okay, I know that a rook can move like that, and this one can move that way, and a pawn can only do this, but he's got the whole map set up in his head. He's seen it.
And just to circle this back around, I think that is, people do have a tough time when they look at Counter-Strike or when they look at Quake, knowing what to look for. What are the indicators? Like, what are the goals here? Like, you watch football or ice hockey, you say, okay, well, they're doing a breakout. This guy's floating deep in the neutral zone. He's probably going to look for a pass. Like, okay, like, that's why the defender's staying back with him. It's much more linear. You're on one square field. When you start playing these video games and all these rooms, everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
But it's still there. Yeah.
Well, if you watch, like, Floyd Mayweather fight, like, one of the things that's amazing about Floyd Mayweather is how he's able to kind of dictate his opponent's movements.
And people give him shit, too, for this. They're like, he's a pussy. I'm like, dude, this guy.
Calling him a pussy is so ridiculous. Yeah, like, that is probably one of the most delusional things you could ever do is call Floyd Mayweather a pussy.
He's winning the fight.
He's 48-0 as a professional boxer and a multiple-time world champion. Kind of hard to call him a pussy. If you want people to take your opinion seriously.
Yeah, they get angry because they spent $100. Like, I want to see blood everywhere.
Yeah, they just don't understand boxing.
It's not Mike Tyson.
His movement, though, what's fascinating about it is he's able to take these guys that are normally like high-volume attackers, and he slows their movement and slows their volume output considerably by him dictating how they move. He just is so much better that they don't get comfortable and they don't know exactly what to do because every time they go do something, they get popped, and so they have to recalculate. He doesn't give them the breaks and the openings that they're accustomed to getting.
Yeah.
And that's all just because
so their whole ebb and flow.
Well, What's also is information chunking is just better than theirs because he's put in more time than they have and thought about it more because he has a really good brother, or really good father, rather, who was who fought Sugar Ray Leonard. His father, who trained him, fought Sugar Ray Leonard way back in the day, Floyd Mayweather Sr. And then his uncle is Roger Mayweather, who's a world champion as well. And he's got other people in his family that were really good boxers as well. So this kid was indoctrinated into
intuitively
boxing.
Intuitively just connected to it.
Yeah. So his mind is like, he's got all these, and I'm sure he's a student of the game, so he's probably watched a million fights, and he knows what goes wrong when you do this and what
goes wrong. People just try to bring him down for other things not related to it all.
Well,
the
other things are valid.
Well, seems
like a piece of shit as a human being.
Yeah, I don't.
You know?
I'm just saying that's what they immediately go to, which is like, okay, well, we're watching a fight. Like, he's fighting.
Right.
You talk about his, like, reading proclivity or whatever they're talking about. Yeah. People bring that up right away. Ah, that is kind of embarrassing, but he's here to fight.
I know. It is kind of weird that he can't read, but, you know, I mean,
that's a lot of money.
That's an unbalanced thing. You know, if you spend that much time boxing and slapping chicks, you don't have much time for reading, you know?
And counting those bills. I wonder if you could count the money he has. That's a lot of money.
He probably can count, but can't write. Well, I think he can read. It's just a struggle. He's just not very good at it.
But isn't it crazy? We're talking about all this, like, intuitive genius he has, mm-hmm. and he can't transfer it over.
Mm. Well, it's probably amount of effort. I mean, how much effort has he put into reading? Probably very little.
How old was he when he went pro? I don't know.
I believe he was 19. He was in the Olympics, and he lost a very controversial decision to a guy who's like in destitute poverty now. It's really interesting. They had an article about the last guy to beat Floyd Mayweather. I forget what publication had it. But this guy from some country, Eastern Bloc country, I think it was. It might have been Russia or something like that, like Bulgaria. I don't know, I'm making shit up. China? Hedge my bets. But this guy was a really good boxer and apparently got a gift decision over Floyd Mayweather, and then went on to get involved in a bunch of shady characters, and, you know, his career fell apart. But that was the last time anybody beat Floyd Mayweather. And that was, again, like when Floyd was 19. He's 38 now, so.
Epic.
Yeah, long-ass time ago.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's lessons to be learned even in the shittiest human beings. You can look at what they're successful at. And even in the shittiest human beings, there's lessons also learning what's the price of success and whether or not you're willing to pay that price. Because oftentimes the price is foolishness. Like, if you have to become a bad person to be really great at something, what are the benefits of being great other than financial success? Yeah, scoring, getting those points, you know, accumulating wealth. Is that more important than the way you're treated by your peers, your community, your friends and family?
Well, you said you got a black belt, I remember reading, like 15 or something?
I think I was 16. I started training in karate when I was 14. Got super serious about taekwondo when I was 15. Before I was 17, I was a black belt.
So, I mean, it sounds like you obviously made a big sacrifice early on. You've been doing that your whole life, right? You've been diving into things.
I didn't have anything else. So
what's the
thing? Like,
most of your friends are probably in that realm, right?
Not now. Now a lot of them are comedians. But at the time, yeah, it was my whole world. But I didn't have anything else. Like, I was socially retarded. I didn't have, like, anything going on. Like, I wasn't academically inclined. I didn't like school. I just moved into a new neighborhood when I was 14. I felt ostracized. I didn't feel like I didn't have any friends.
Boston?
Yeah. Well, I was in Newton, where I was. It was a suburb of Boston. So it was like, you could say, like, I sacrificed. But it wasn't like I had all these friends that I couldn't hang out with, and I had, like, this family that was missing me. No, I was like, you know, I was a latchkey kid, so my parents were working all day. And, you know, I didn't have anything else. So I found this one thing that I felt like could give me some value. I could have some, I felt like I had some personal worth from this, from getting good at something. And then once I got good at it, it was like, wow, this is the first thing that I've ever done that gives me like a good feeling by being good at. Whereas like my life before that was kind of depressing. It was like going from one community to another, constantly moving, no friends, being bullied. I hated all of that. And then the being bullied part is what led me into martial arts. And it's very minor bullying. Like, nobody really hurt
me. But it's more psychological than
just being nervous all the time, being scared of people, you know. Yep. And I wasn't a big guy. I was little. So there's like so many different things about it that made martial arts appealing. But then the big thing was once I started doing it, it just became my whole life. It became everything. And then that's when I realized, oh, I'm kind of a crazy person, you know, and all I have to do is like find things and then those things become my whole life. And the problem with me was that from the time I was 15 till I was 21, that was sort of my developmental period of becoming an adult. So that is how my brain formed in this like really laser beam focused kind of insane way where I don't give a fuck about anything else. And that's what my problem was with video games. Because once I started playing video games, somebody would be talking to me. If I didn't like what they were saying, if I was bored, I would just start playing video games in my head. I'd be like, I could be playing video games right now. I could be playing Quake. I could be fucking hitting somebody with a railgun.
It's a double-edged sword,
Yeah. It's like oftentimes people that are really, really good at something are super unbalanced.
I was going to say I could resonate with different things you're saying. Definitely.
Well, that's why I see with you, I appreciate the fact that you have put a lot of thought into like doing things, going outside, playing hockey, getting a real life on top of this video game thing, because obviously if you're really good at this game, which obviously you are really good at it, you must have a sort of obsessive mind. There's no way, like I have a quote that I use all the time that I came up with a long time ago, is that greatness and insanity are next door neighbors and they bar each other's sugar. Because it really is true. Greatness and madness are so closely related. There's almost no way around it. Because you have to, in order to achieve a super high level of something, you have to be able to do it better than the other people. You have to have more. You have
passion,
more of an understanding of it. And the only way to do that is you have to not pay attention to other shit. You know, you can't be learning five different languages and, you know, also pursuing a degree in complex mathematics and also doing this and also learning how to play guitar and also having a girlfriend who demands all your time. Where are you going? What are you doing? What about me? What about us? Where are we going? Where is this heading? I'm not sure if you're committed.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that lately. I just kicked someone in the face and I'm a double black belt.
Broads. They want it all. They want you all the time. Where are you? What about our career?
Oh, yeah, as a gamer, that's the best excuse. Sorry, I got to play a video game for a bit, like legit.
Chicks probably don't really get excited about dating a super high-level
gamer. No, I don't have too many groupies abroad or here, but abroad, occasionally there's like girls who it's like they have more like of a new like a respect rate. You could tell they're trying to put their best foot forward when they meet you.
Whereas because they're here, gamers just themselves?
Like, yeah, here are girls when they meet you and their friends like their friend is like, hey, by the way, this guy's really good at video games. They want to kind of have their wall up right away, like, who's this kid? Like, oh, he's really good at something. That's fun. That's cute. You have a lot of followers here. And I'm just like, sweet bitch, fuck you.
Wow, how rude.
Nah, but there's a...
Are there video game groupies, though? Or are there like
definitely.
There are. Yeah. Wow. Because there was like pool groupies.
I mean...
When I used to play pool all the time, the guys who were like really good, they would have girls that would like want to bang them.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that we have, like, gamer orgies everywhere, but there are girls who just, they either linger or they come to events or they try to, like, interact with you in weird ways online so that when they do show up at the event, you, like, pay attention to them versus the other one. You know, it's like weird interactions.
Right.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's that weird, like, they're putting out little seeds, little flirtation seeds to try to get attention when they see you in the physical form.
And then that's the best excuse of being a gamer because you're playing a video game. You can be like, no, honey, I'm practicing. Really, you're actually not doing shit. You're just on the computer.
Practicing.
So, yeah, team practice. Immerse yourself, baby, as you said. Don't get anywhere without it.
It is interesting. There's a difference in men and women when it comes to what's attractive to them. Because with a man, it's not attractive that a girl's really good at games. I mean, it might be on top
of
that.
I agree. Watching girls play Counter-Strike to me, I'm always just like, I have to look away. There's few that are pretty good, but to normally it just immediately turned off. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, that's the same with stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
One of the biggest turnoffs ever is if you like a girl and she's a comic and then she's fucking terrible. You're like, oh, it's over. Got to get out of here.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. If you're dating a girl and she's a comic and she's bad at it, you might as well be dating a dude. You know, I mean, it's like, it's such a turn off.
She knows she's going to try to talk like a dude.
Unless you're gay, and then dating a dude is what you're looking for, but you get my point. If you're dating a girl who sucks at something that you're really good at, if for whatever reason, just immediately kills any attractive quality that she might have.
What
about vice versa?
What if she just like whipped my ass at golf or something? I still feel like I just...
Some guys are fine. Like, pool is a big one for men. They find it demoralizing. Like, they get very intimidated by a woman that's better than them. Like, some guys, even in professional levels, will play like a really good woman, a high-level professional woman, and fall apart because they're nervous to play a woman.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to lose to a woman.
I could say from in the past, I've played the best Counter-Strike girl teams in the world for like events because they just happen to, they don't go to all the same ones, but they have separate events. When you play them, it does feel like a lose-lose. Like, you're just like, all right, I'm going to either crush them or barely beat them, or if I lose, then it's even worse. But like, even if I win, I'm expected to crush them. And so you play them, and you're just like, I've lost, like, a couple rounds, like, before I won any versus a girl. I'm like, fuck.
And if you lose to them, and then you have to talk to them, are you intimidated? Are you, like, do you feel, like, insecure?
I mean, at this point in my career, I know all the best girls, so they're kind of my friends in the game.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure at certain points for the guys coming up, they want to be pro male player, and they play a girls team and lose, they're probably like, fuck. I'm going to walk out of the room quietly.
Yeah, I remember watching pool tournaments and, like, say, like, a Jeanette Lee or someone like that would enter the tournament, and someone who would play, like, really good would fall apart in front of her because they just couldn't deal with the possibility of losing to this, like, really pretty girl. Like, they wanted to impress her, and they would miss nine balls and just, like, shit.
Yeah, the perception, men, bigger, stronger, faster.
Well, it's not even just that. It's like men have to win. You know, they have this I have to win thing. And if you don't win, your self-worth, like, you devalue who you are.
I've heard you talk about that stuff in the past, the caveman mindset, right? Just back in the day, you just dominate your cave, you hunt, you gather, like, you
Well, dominate. That's the reason why, I mean, there's competition over breeding. I mean, that's really what, I mean, the competition over breeding is, you know, hunter-gatherer competition, and then it's like fighting off neighboring tribes that are trying to come in and take them. It's all like... It's the reason why men are such assholes. It's benefited the genes. That's really what it is. I mean, obviously we're moving past that because, you know, as the technology and society and culture evolves and changes and grows and becomes more and more complex, that stuff becomes less and less necessary. But the genetics and the proclivity, the inclination rather, is always still there. The competition. So when men lose to women, like, especially in games like pool, it fucking drives them crazy.
Because they can't just, like, overwhelm them with strength or anything.
Yeah. Ping pong. Some chick whacks that ball by you in ping pong. Fuck! Fuckity fuck!
Dude. Damn, yeah. Ping pong's intense.
Ping pong's very intense. I'm not interested in it whatsoever. You know, Aubrey plays ping pong really good. He's like, let's play ping pong. I'm like, let's go fuck yourself. Stupid.
You ever been to
game.
Those bars, though, that have all sorts of games in them? Like, they have, like, shuffleboard, pool, ping
foosball
pong.
Foosball drives me nuts. That's so stupid.
But when you're drunk.
Yeah, but it's just you don't have enough control over that stupid fucking, those shifters. They don't have enough movement. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah, pissing me off. The ball's going through the middle. Fuck, yeah. I'm going to grab that shit and throw it out.
You can't even get to it sometimes. Yeah. It's like you can't. It's you don't have, like, one of the things that I hate about when you play video games like an Xbox controller.
Oh god!
Was how, like, it doesn't. It's not nearly as precise.
Dude.
You get used to that WASD on the keyboard and the mouse, and you know it becomes a part of who you are.
I have so many stories where, like, I go to like a house or a party or something, and everyone's like, "That's fucking pro gamer kid," and then everyone's like, "Play me in FIFA right now, or play me in this game on Xbox." I'm like, I don't fucking play those games. Like, I don't care to be good at them. And they're like, "Oh, so I can beat you? I'm fucking better than the pro gamer kid." And I'm like, "All right, cool, dude. You're really sick."
That is an issue, though, right?
What's that?
Switching from a mouse and a keyboard to those Xbox controllers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a whole different. I have so much. Like, I could probably, in Counter-Strike, if you were to pick up all my friends, I could play 1-on-10 against kids probably playing with an Xbox controller.
1-on-10?
1-on-5. I did something for Microsoft a long time ago where they wanted to actually see if the synergy was good to have, like, let Xbox kids play me online. And I played these kids 1-on-4, and I didn't even need sound. I was just, like, running around, killing everyone. Because they're so limited with their range of motion that it's not just me. A lot of my friends could do this at a pro level. I'm not just some god, but it's just the difference between.
Isn't that something that they also put in to the game engine to make it easier to aim with those things, like auto-aiming?
Yep.
And that fucks up the precision, right?
Yeah, and then everyone has these things that are extenders for the joystick, so it's, like, longer, so you have an easier time manipulating the joystick. So, you know, the little thumb pads?
Mm-hmm.
Basically makes them twice as long, and that gives you more control, I guess they're called.
Yeah.
How much more control?
Extenders.
Is it more like a mouse, or is it not quite?
It just makes it a little bit better.
A little bit better.
Yeah, all like the Call of Duty and Halo pros, that first-person shooter pros, use them on console.
But none of them are.
Yeah, there they are.
That's the thing that sticks up above it. Oh, I see.
10-year-old uses that.
Hmm. So it just makes it slightly better, but still not as good as mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, no,
why don't they have mouse and keyboard for these fucking things?
They do.
They have shitty adapters.
Yeah, but nobody plays them.
You can use Bluetooth. Right now, nowadays, you can use Bluetooth keyboards, right? And
there's a bunch of input lag when you use them, but they do make them.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. There was a lag between.
But they're not allowed in tournaments. So.
They're not. You have to use those things.
Yeah, like I couldn't show up and just wax like a Call of Duty tournament. But if I was able to plug in my mouse and keyboard, I could probably.
But that doesn't make any sense to me that they would even have those fucking stupid things. Why not just have mouse and keyboards? That's the best input.
We always joke that like PC players are the master race because we always say that. That's like a joke between the communities. We're like, let the casual guys play on their Xbox and PlayStation.
And that's what it is. It's just casual gamers. Right. Like I'd rather lay back on my couch and play a game Grand Theft Auto than have my keyboard and mouse and sit there and try to twitch and kill people. You know?
Yeah, that's what's cool about the keyboard or the
controller.
I used to have a thing called what was it called? I don't remember what the fucking name was. But it had a trackball and a handle.
Yep.
But a joystick, and you would move it around. You would shoot with the trigger. It was kind of cool because you could actually shoot with a trigger, and you would aim with a trackball. And the trackball was pretty cool, but not quite as good as a mouse and keyboard. It was like a step below. Like the really good guys could still fuck you up with it, but then once I switched over to a mouse and keyboard, then all of a sudden I was moving with my left hand and shooting and aiming with my right, as opposed to shooting with my right and moving and aiming with my left.
That'd be a mind fuck for me. I know people use that for like Photoshop. I think
trackballs.
Yeah, they have like they just move it around.
But a trackball is not nearly as precise as a mouse.
Probably not nowadays.
Seems like laser. It's weird because like games are really the proving ground for like precision because it's so critical.
Well, that's what's funny when these peripheral companies like Logitech is one of my sponsors. When they make a new mouse, they've recently in the past couple of years they have the technology to make amazing stuff, but they always add like little like ridges or something on the mouse that. As pro gamers, like to grip the mouse weird and the sensor, they add these specs that like don't really apply to our range of motion. They put like a million DPI. You could track. Well, I'm not going to swipe my arm across the room. Like I have a certain range of motion, and I don't know. The controllers essentially need. I kind of lost my train of thought there, but
well, they had those Razer mice.
Well, exactly.
Back when I was playing, they were still a ball mouse. It was still a ball back then. I know they're laser now, right?
Yeah, of course.
But they had a weird shape that they had created that some people liked and other people hated. I could never kind of get used to it. It was way weirder than that back in the day. The original Razer mouse. Those are Logitech. That's a Microsoft right there.
See, there's that little like keypad on the top left. That's weird.
Yeah, but this is not none of these are the thing that I was talking about. But this is new shit that they're doing. This is one. Look, what's that one? That split keyboard down a little lower, Jamie, right there. What the fuck is that thing?
So since a lot of people do WSD, so you got your left hand, and then I guess that's the right-handed version.
Well, this
is
just an idea. This is a concept. But.
But I've played on something like that. Just for one, my left hand only. It's just the WASD.
What's your favorite mouse? Logitech?
I use a Logitech G100S. It's ambidextrous, so it's very simple.
Look at this trackball.
You'll find a lot of the pro gamers, they don't need any more than like 3 to 5 buttons on their mouse. Like the World of Warcraft people are casual gamers. They have all these millions of buttons and lights and switches. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of fun because you have all these macro binds for the spells. But for our game, we just like something that you can grip. It's not overwhelming on your hand or has a weird center of gravity or has all these lights. We just need to grip it well and have good tracking. It's pretty simple.
Now, if a new game came out, like say, there's Call of Duty and all these different games, and new game came out, it became the shit, and you started to see that trend where everybody was slowly drifting off to that game, what do you do? Do you decide, okay, I've got to fucking pick this game up? And if you do, are you starting from scratch or are you starting from like halfway?
I guess it depends how new the game is. Like current Call of Duty, if it was on PC, I'd be above average. I would probably be a decent competitive player. You have to learn all the maps, and then the metagame is gone, obviously, because there's no information chunks that exist at this point. Cause it's a new sport. It's a literally new sport now. I don't know. It depends. You know, like, if the game has so much support, how viable is it as a job? What do I need to do to make money? Do I need to win every tournament? Do I need to just be a top 100 competitor?
Would you dip your toes in? Like, and would you start fucking with it occasionally and then say, I got to figure out what to do here? Like, how do you know where the tide's going?
Yeah, you don't always, but you can kind of tell based off, like, player numbers, right? Like, Counter-Strike Go, the game I play, has kind of had, like, an exponential growth the past, like, year and a half.
Still.
Yeah, recently. It got a reinsurgence because they took the model of League of Legends where you can customize all the shit in the game. Counter-Strike got a little bland for people because it was the same thing always. But now they've made it so you can customize the way your gun looks and all these little gimmicky things that are pretty cool, but they don't really change the game. And that brought in new players, new money, which makes the game developer pour more money into it, keep updating the nuances. Maybe there's a glitch. In the old game, they would never fix it because that's it. They're not going to release a new version. When the next one comes out, have fun. Well, with Counter-Strike, they constantly update it and upgrade it. So that you could tell how popular the game is by just how the community vibe is, how many tournaments are happening, whatnot. Like Dota, League of Legends, they have tournaments all the time. Counter-Strike, we have tournaments all the time. Quake, they have QuakeCon now. They don't really have any more tournaments. It just kind of slowly died down. Maybe lack of interest. Back then, they didn't have the same model, the game developers, that is, to make money. They would just release a game. They make money.
And Quake, the players don't really have an opportunity to make money. Unless they're doing this Twitch thing. They'd have to do this Twitch thing.
Yeah, so a couple of them, like, I know the top Quake players, and if they had Twitch now and the game was still big, they would all be in a similar boat as I am. But unfortunately, the game kind of plateaued, and the bubble popped before Twitch got big, and they just, there's no tournaments. They just don't have anywhere to compete.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. How do you avoid being one of those guys? It seems to me that
it's kind of volatile. You don't really know, especially if you're, like, a StarCraft player. Those guys play StarCraft, like, there's not many other shooter games or StarCraft-style games you can go play.
Right. Yeah, if StarCraft goes away, you're fucked.
MOBA has the most options. So MOBA is the multiplayer online battle arena. That's Dota, League of Legends, and Heroes of New Earth. They're basically almost the same game. One guy...
Really?
They're literally one guy created Dota through the Warcraft 3 brand a long time ago, and it had, like, one map, and that's it. Just, like, three lanes and whatnot. And all these other games, since there was, like... This guy independently made the map, I think it was. Mad... Frog, Ice Frog or something. I forget his name. And basically, League of Legends, Dota, and Heroes of New Earth, three different game developers. They're almost the same concept game. Everything's slightly different. Heroes and champions and spells. But basically, they normally say, like, people who can't go pro in Dota go pro in League of Legends. People who can't go pro in League of Legends go pro in Heroes of New Earth. So it's like this succession of almost the same game, but just, like, more and more money and more tournaments.
If you put me in a time machine from back when I was playing Quake and then, like, in the 90s and then jumped me here today, I'd be like, what in the actual fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I want to see this League of Legends shit. Show me some video game streaming.
It.
No?
Nope.
I just want to see what they're doing.
It looks like an iPad game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But how is it so popular?
It's super casual friendly.
This is it here?
Yeah. So... It's free. So, it caters a lot. There's a shit ton of girls and kids. And
Scott Jorgensen just sent me a text message. Thanks for the Twitch shout-out, homie. Because he's got a giant Twitch... So, this is the game?
Yeah. So, this is League of Legends. Yeah.
Oh, this is dumb
I honestly
shit.
Don't even play the game, so I couldn't tell you what the fuck is going on. I know vaguely what's going on.
It's what?
I think it's free to play.
It's free
so
to
that was
play.
One of the first games that made their money model not off selling the game, but off all the things you could buy in the game.
Microtransactions. What do you think about microtransactions?
Well, that's kind of, I guess that was, I didn't use the right term, but that's what I was talking about earlier. That's what CSGO has now, microtransactions.
Those are really problematic for people on phones.
That's why Quake was never as big, though, because, like, if they had this model of microtransactions, you could change the way your laser gun works or your rocket gun.
That seems like a fuck.
That would have been like, I mean, even though it might be $1 or $2 transaction, if 300,000 kids are doing it a week, you're going to see some return.
It seems like they're fucking you, though. Like, I don't like
so
that.
So they're like, they have a champion they choose, right? And they run around and there's these little, like, minions. I honestly don't really even understand the game too much. So that guy with the green health bar next to him, he's the main one. And that's his crew mobbing behind him that.
That
sucks.
So these are superheroes, I guess? Is that what this is?
not necessarily superheroes, but heroes meaning they're just like, they're super strong. Those are, you choose, because they have different skill sets, right? One might be more, have more defense. So they call him like a tank. He's really strong with his defense. Some are better at attacking. Maybe they attack better close range. Maybe they attack better long range. So it's 5v5 normally. So the pro teams go, they're strategizing, I honestly don't know, but they need like, you know, close range attackers, a tank, this guy, that guy.
Do you play a lot of Destiny?
No, I would play it if it's on PC, but I just honestly, first-person shooters, like, I can't spend my free time playing them anymore unless I'm going to casually play it on Steam.
This is ugly to look at,
though. It looks badass, though.
Yeah, it seems like a game that you would like.
You think this looks... Oh, you talking about this looks badass?
No, Destiny, the shooter game.
Okay, the other game.
No, this I've just never connected to it, you know?
It's stupid.
Like Counter-Strike and Quake, you see it, you feel it, you ebb and flow. Their strategy is very intuitive.
Yeah, go to a Counter-Strike one. Let's just for
so let's see a good person to put. Scroll down. So there's not really any pros playing right now. You can go to the top though. Actually, scroll down. I saw a name, Robin Official. One more down, right in the middle, right there. Click that guy. He's an old Swedish pro.
Okay.
He hasn't been playing in a while.
So this is so much more interesting to me.
So he's running out of spawn right now. This is a gun round. He's got an AK-47. So.
But this is like you're watching like the map. It's so three-dimensional.
He's
going to
see a guy on the left here, most likely.
I just couldn't imagine why other games don't do it just like this. So like this, he just got.
So
jacked.
Now his teammate traded the kill, so it's good, and then they got another kill, so they're an advantage right now. 4v3. Now it's a 3v3.
Yeah, that's nice. But what I'm talking.
Yeah, exactly. Knows right. The fuck no, you're no, no, no. I'm just pointing at it. Right, the kill. So like.
But this is so much more fun to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're playing it, too, it's like it's so much more immersive. Like, you feel like this is going on. When you're looking down and everyone has, like, a bar with a health bar above their head and you're throwing spells and you're looking down, it's just so bizarre looking.
Yeah. And as I said earlier in League of Legends, when someone's getting outskilled or they're winning a round, it's normally, like, pretty drawn out, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. What's cool about Counter-Strike and very intuitive for a spectator is that right there, you just saw him run in and die, right?
Well, also, it seems that
it happens quicker.
With Counter-Strike, the physics are very similar to real-life physics. Like, you can't do any weird shit. Like, you can do weird shit in Quake where you could jump a little higher than you really would
be able to. You can't
lay
down in this game. You can't prone.
You can't?
You can duck, stand, and walk. And run.
You can prone in some games.
Like Call of Duty, you could like do some weird shit. Where you like jump and then slide. It's called Supermaning, I think. Yeah. You like jump and like extend and lay down. It's weird.
Wow.
Do you get stadiums of people watching you guys play your final matches like League of Legends does?
Yeah.
Like Korea?
Yeah. The biggest one I was at recently was in Poland. We filled up. It was like a 20,000 person arena.
20,000 people.
I wasn't in the final for that, but it was awesome to watch.
So you were watching and these guys were playing and 20,000 people were there.
Yeah, I have a video on my Instagram where I'm like, shooting it over my shoulder and everyone's like NIP Virtus Pro and like screaming the team names and it's epic because the arena is
20,000 people screaming that. That's
and
insane.
They normally set it up like every player has a projector to their point of view, so there's like 10 projectors and then one giant projector for the commentators.
Wow.
So it's a color, a play-by-play.
Where do you think this is going? Like, what do you, if you had to envision, if you had to prognosticate and you look at where games are right now and you try to extrapolate, look, you know, 5-10 years in the future. Yeah. What do you think it's going to be?
Well, I'm not Ray Kurzweil, but let's see.
But
here.
If you were.
If I was Ray.
If you're you.
I don't think it's success. Basically, I think what we've realized in the community and a lot of these top people who run the companies realize is that, like, TV and the mainstream routes that everyone wants to go, like reality TV, let's show the gamers behind the scenes. Like, that shit just isn't what is necessary for this world. So what they're doing now and what I think it'll turn into is what you're currently seeing now, just a little bit higher production quality and more catered to the players when they have events, maybe players lounges, better warm-up areas. Like, I think everything's going to be somewhat similar but tidied up just enough to make all the narratives of the pro teams more clear to the mainstream, to make when you watch, like, to make all the information much more presented clearly, because obviously not anyone watching will say, oh, that's their ammo, how much ammo do
that's
they have
not
left?
Really what I was asking. What
but
I was
I just saying I think that's I think it's going to keep growing, and I think you're not going to see these astronomical changes where we're like every match is in a huge Madison Square Garden.
That's not really what I meant either. I meant with video games themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like the games themselves are getting more and more complex and more immersive. Like, where could this possibly be going?
Like virtual reality type stuff?
Yeah. Do you think that that's a possibility? Like, that the Oculus Rift thing that Carmack was talking about. Do you don't think so, Brian?
No.
How come? What do you think?
I think there's going to be something that's going to trump that. I think it's nice.
Really?
It's a fun little, like, gimmick type thing. But, like, the thing we were talking about earlier about people getting sick and how heavy it is and stuff. I think in 10 or 15 years, that's just going to be, like, a beta test of what we're talking about. And it's probably going to be just, like, a contact lens that you put in your eye and it turns your living room into
a
jungle.
So I can't comprehend that. Technology, and like you said, exponential growth of technology is insane. We might just have one chip. We might not need it Oculus. We might just have a little tablet thing we put by our temple, and all of a sudden you're experiencing this with no fatigue. And
have you seen those goggles that turn the whole world into a desktop, the video game?
Someone posted a crazy video I'm going to play. It's called The Void. It's the HD version. Or I'll show you. It's Oculus Rift.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Go full screen. Start it from the beginning. The Void. Cool graphics. What if you could explore new dimensions, new worlds?
From your bedroom.
Where dreams become reality.
They build a space in a warehouse, kind of.
And imagination has no limits. Whoa.
Yes, you know I'm down.
Okay, so this guy has virtual reality goggles on, unparalleled visuals and body tracking. Oh, so you're wearing some crazy vest. Oh my God, this guy's walking through a warehouse and things are coming at them. Oh my God, virtual worlds built over physical environments. This is it. Jamie, you just answered my question. This is the fucking future.
So I definitely think like laser tag will get invented.
Like, these like little laser tag things will be definitely
environmental effects. Oh my God.
And this
God.
Is for the super casual player, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Super casual player.
No, I'm saying like single player games, right? You're playing your own journey story right here. Not casual, meaning...
This is a place where you'd rent out like a laser tag and...
Virtual tag.
This is, I don't ever see this taking over where it's in your house and... This
no,
is
but bad. This could be like an arena, like where you play football. I mean, this could be the future where you're watching people play in a warehouse...
See, I think that's like when I'm a grandpa. A
this is amazing. I don't think this is going to be when you're a grandpa, dude. I think it's going to be a game where you accidentally get your girlfriend pregnant and this exists. Whoa, look at this. Like, super soon. This is nuts, man. So these guys all have fake swords, and they're... Oh, my God, there's various games that you could play. And they're fighting against dragons with swords. This is fucking
This
bananas.
Is all a concept, though, obviously.
Well, it seems like they were showing the actual physical environment, like they're creating it.
I think it's like a demo of what...
CGI on top of it.
Well, let's go to thevoid.com and find out. Go to thevoid.com and see what the fuck... How'd they get The Void? They must have had to pay for that bitch.
That was my point. I don't think that'll enter esports. That's, I guess, why I went down the other path of talking. Like, I don't know how that would enter esports. Something I...
That's what... So you're primarily concerned with the sport... Professional
yeah, well, that's,
sport aspect.
That's
coming
where my
soon.
Mind attached to it.
Pleasant Grove, Utah. Huh. Oh, next summer. Awesome. So essentially a year from now.
I can see how badass. What was that game with the dragons recently came out single player?
Dragon.
Haunted Cat. Look at what they're saying
worlds.
Here. Look at what they're saying here.
Scroll, Elder Scrolls.
Visions of infinite dimensions. The Void is exactly what our virtual entertainment centers will offer. Experience everything from haunted castles to dinosaur safaris to futuristic battlefields. And with our competitive or cooperative multiplayer modes, you can share these incredible experiences with family and friends. See, that might be a weird issue, man, if these games start becoming physical. If you start having these competitions, like you're playing teams, 5-on-5, or how many people are in Counter-Strike?
5 versus 5, yeah.
5 versus 5. Imagine if you're doing 5 versus 5 in these things, and it becomes about athletics.
Yeah.
It becomes about athletes competing in virtual environments in video games. I mean, that really could be possible. Sort of like Dance Dance Revolution, get you guys in shape.
Like I said, that's where I need the super suit then after that, so I don't need to get in shape. I just plug in.
Yeah, but that's going to be weird if people resist the getting in shape part. This, I mean, who knows what this is going to be or whether this is going to catch on. But I think, like... Why would you go to the movies when you could live a movie? When you could go... I mean, imagine if you had, like, The Hobbit. Like, that kind of graphics. And you're actually in the environment.
Walk through the battlefield next to Gandalf.
Fuck, dude. And they figure out a way to sculpt the ground in a way that makes it feel like you're going uphill and downhill and dirt under your feet and rocks and different terrains.
For all we know, we did figure that out and we're experiencing it in the past of our current... development and
yeah the whole virtual reality
we're a hologram right now right
Well, that's the mind fuck of all mind fucks is that one day there will be an artificial reality that's indiscernible from this reality. How do we know we're not already in it?
We're in it.
DMT.
Oh, well, people think so. It comes. I mean, it does come up every now and again. Jordan, I think we've said everything we could say about video gaming.
Yeah, man.
Anything else to add?
I could talk all day. Shout out to everyone who
learned a little bit
about esports today. If you haven't gotten enough info from me, feel free to look around.
Yeah, Twitch. And you could find Jordan. What is your Twitter handle?
C9N0THING. So C9 nothing. With
and
a zero.
C9 nothing is your handle on
Cloud9 is my organization I compete for.
And nothing is N0.
THING.
All right. Well, anything else?
No. Thanks for everyone for watching, friends and family.
Brian Redband, you got anything going on? Tell the people about.
We got
GK, right? Yeah.
My Twitch channel is Redband, so check
What's
that out.
What's GK?
Yeah, I told my Counter Strike buddies that I'd give them a shout out. GK is a kids I used to play with from Counter Strike. Okay. They're like, say that at the end. I was like, yeah, if I could fit it in.
Yeah, you got in there. What are you saying?
My Twitch channel is Redband. Me and Jamie play all the time. Also, I'll be in Toronto in July and Death Squad Friday at the Ice House.
Let's do
Death
a stream
Squad
together,
dot TV. You guys are going to do a stream together.
Let's do it.
You gonna cross streams too?
Cross streams, touch tips. Let's touch tips.
It's after the real stream.
Well, listen, man, this has been very illuminating. This is a world that I completely was unaware, I was peripherally aware of, but you really gave us the full tour of it. I appreciate it. And
no worries.
Congratulations on being able to make a career out of this. I think it's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Kudos to you, sir. And to everybody else, go fuck yourself. We'll see you next week. Much love. Big kisses. Oh, Friday night, Vegas. There's still some tickets available. That's tomorrow. Tom Segura, Tony Hinchcliffe, and me at the Ka Theater at the MGM. Holla! See you then.
Peace. Bye.